That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
The Shasta Regional Medical Center Foundation's 34th annual Turkey Trot is Thanksgiving Day, November 28th. There's a 2-mile fun run and walk for the entire family, the 6-mile timed race for the more serious runner, or the diesel horse dash for the kids. Start your Thanksgiving Day morning with Reading's longest family tradition. Register now at ShastaRegional.com. Packet pickup and late registration will be held November 25th, 26th, and 27th at Shasta Regional Medical Center's main lobby from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Register now at ShastaRegional.com.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The Cigar and Pleasure Friendly Hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
Hard to believe that we are just days away from Thanksgiving 2019. The first Thanksgiving was celebrated by the Pilgrims after their first harvest in the New World, October 1621. Now, I could say 1621, but in honor of Colonel Ange, who is in our midst, it is 1621. The first Thanksgiving feast lasted 3 days. Can you imagine 3 days of turkey, of stuffing, of candied yams, of libations? They must have had to expand their pants numerous times over those 3 days. That was before Sansibelt, by the way. The first Thanksgiving attended by 90 Native Americans, 53 pilgrims, and the New England colonists became accustomed to regularly celebrating Thanksgiving. Days of prayer, thanking God for blessings, and we do so each and every year on the fourth Thursday in November. Long Ash greetings and salutations. A Long Ash happy Thanksgiving. Snappy salute. Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. And screw the vegans that want us to have tofurkey for Thanksgiving. We will not have it. Now, even though Thanksgiving goes back to October 1621, we have perfected it to high levels, never seen before since that first Thanksgiving in 1621, because today we will be talking about Thanksgiving turkey delicacy maneuvers, ways to cook your festive bird, whether it is frying, whether it is roasting, whether it is smoking, grilling, or spatchcocking. We will talk about it today on Thanksgiving turkey delicacy maneuvers. Here's a little history note for you. Thanksgiving is a federal holiday celebrated on the fourth Thursday of November. It originated as a harvest festival. Thanksgiving, even though it goes back to October 1621, has been celebrated nationally in the United States on and off since 1789 with a proclamation by George Washington after a request by Congress. Thomas Jefferson, however, chose not to observe the holiday. Apparently, he wasn't a football fan and didn't like turkey. The celebration was intermittent until the presidency of Abraham Lincoln, a Republican, by the way, when Thanksgiving became a federal holiday in 1863 during the American Civil War. He proclaimed a national day of Thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens to be celebrated on the last Thursday in November under President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The date was changed between 1939 and 1941, amid significant controversy. From 1942 onwards, Thanksgiving has been proclaimed by Congress as being the fourth Thursday in November. It is regarded as the beginning of the fall-winter holiday season. And there we come today to Thanksgiving turkey delicacy maneuvers. And as always, it is my pleasure to have the official, I guess we could say, grill master, pit master, pooch pit master, Colonel Ange from the Western New York Theater of Operations, Captain Paul, also from the Western New York Theater of Operations. We celebrated a big Buffalo Bills victory. We squished the fish earlier this week. There will be no fish, however, for Thanksgiving. Colonel Ange, I know we are here at the Davidoff of Geneva Store and Lounge, our Ford Theater of Operations Command Center Alpha, and we have set up a mobile pooch pit. Wherever you are, wherever there's tables, wherever there's proper delicacies, the pooch pit can go anywhere around the globe. And here we are today in the Cigar City, and you have set up a Ford Theater of Operations pooch pit.
Yes, General, we're used to that. We've had them all over, right? We've had them Detroit. We've had them Tampa. We just move it around. But we're set. We're all outside. Everything looks good. Got a lot of gawkers, and we're ready to submerge the bird.
And I brought my Butterball XXL turkey fryer because a large or an XL wouldn't do. And last year, I think for my bird with Cigar Mother, Cigar Sister, and everyone else, I think I got a 24-pound bird. And, of course, I came back home, and my Cigar Mother says, "It's too big. Why did you get such a big bird? You don't need it." My answer was, because I wanted a big bird. Just like I want a giant screen TV. Just like I want a big-ass grill, I want a big bird. I don't want a little puny bird. And now with my Butterball electric turkey fryer XXL, 25 pounds, piece of cake. No problem. Before, I couldn't get more than about 18. Now, no problem.
Yeah, the other one is really better for 14, but this thing is a bear, honestly. You could put water in it, and it'd be a one-person hot tub. I think you could do that with a cocktail and sit in the Butterball.
Well, I need I need more like an eight-person, myself and seven of the harem. And, of course, the other, the rest of the harem will get all jealous. But, you know, as long as I'm happy, it's all about me anyway, right?
That's exactly right. There you go. That's why we're all here, General.
As I tell Puff Muff and Lori, what is your number one mission? And she says, "General, your command is my wish." And that's exactly how it should be. So, Colonel Ange,
yes.
We have got ourselves a small turkey. We didn't go overboard today here at Davidoff. We've got about an 11, 12-pound bird.
Correct. Correct.
We got it fresh, so it is not frozen. And to me, I like the fresh birds. And as we get closer to Thanksgiving, you can go ahead and call most supermarkets will have fresh birds ready to go. You can always call. I call ahead and tell them what I want. And usually they'll give you a range. We have 15 to 18 and 18 to 20, 20, 22. I always tend to go on the high side. But what should you look for when you purchase a bird?
Well, your first comment is the best one. You really should call ahead because fresh birds, they just don't stock them as many. And you know why? Because they're fresh birds and they don't want to have to return the stock. So do yourself a favor. Call ahead. Get the fresh bird. The biggest question is how big a bird do you need? And you do that by how many people are going to come. If you're going to have 10 people, you better not get a 10-pound bird because you don't have 10 pounds of meat. You're going to want to have about a pound and a half of the bird per person that's coming to eat. So know how many people are coming, then judge the size of the bird. And also, of course, fresh is fresh. That means you can cook it the day you pick it up. Frozen is frozen. You can't do that when you get a frozen bird.
And you can't microwave it. You got to let it thaw for, a couple of days?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can speed that up by submerging it in a sink or a bucket with cool water. Not cold, but cool water. Not warm, for sure. But that's a pain in the neck, honestly. If you know that you're going to get a frozen bird, give yourself 4 days. I like 3 days to get it to thaw and then a day to set it up in the fridge and dry brine because dry brining takes a lot less time than the wet brine. If you're wet brining, you better get that bird 5 days ahead.
And we'll talk about brining in just a little bit. But to me, the key is it starts with the bird. You want a very good bird. Now, we went over to one of the markets here that had both the regular and organic. And I think we paid, it was on sale, $1.99 for the regular or $2.99 for the organic. We got the regular bird. You can get the organic. I know Cigar Sister Lynn is going to tell me to get the organic. But, how do you know it's organic? To me, when you look at a lot of vegetables and they say organic, it comes from Mexico, Chile, Peru, Argentina. How do you know there's somebody sitting there saying, "Oh, we're going to separate that. That's organic. This is non-organic." To me, they probably say, Put it all in one. The stupid Americans, we tell them it's organic, we get double the price. They don't know the difference.
Well, as far as I know, all birds, both organic and non-organic, start with organs. So you're it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that most birds, I know chickens cannot be, they can't be injected with antibiotics, I don't believe,
no.
In the United States by law. So many people think, oh, if I get organic, there's no antibiotics. No bird. I think turkeys are the same way, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right.
But I think that is the correct. So first we want to start with the bird. That is number one.
Correct.
And then we want to have the proper way to make it juicy. Whether you are frying it, you are spatchcocking it, you're grilling it, you are roasting it, you always want to make sure you properly baste and inject the bird.
Well, yes, you can. I think brining, I think, is important, and I think that's the first way to make sure you're going to get the moisture.
Define brine.
Brine is a either wet brine or dry brine. The whole thing goes back to osmosis, right? You're going to there's salt on the bird that draws down into the bird itself, and that brings the moisture down inside the bird so it stays there. Now you can do that wet method, dry method,
or both.
Or both, yes.
Did we
both.
Do both?
No, we didn't. We didn't wet brine this bird. We dry brined it.
Well, dry brined, but wait a minute. We injected it.
Well, okay, the injection isn't brining.
That's not brining.
No. The injection ends up adding more flavor to the bird because that moisture will get eaten up pretty quick. Once you inject it, it just spreads out into the skin, and that's more – the injection is for flavor, not for brining.
All right, and when we injected, we patented recipe that we like. We use half Jack Daniels, bourbon. You can use scotch. You can use whatever you want, really. And we used half apple cider.
Correct.
And we basically mixed it. We took a syringe that you can buy at any supermarket. You can go to any of the Home Depot, Lowe's, supermarkets. They all have it. And basically you fill it up and you just get right in the thigh, you get in the breast, and you just keep injecting. Almost like you're Botoxing the bird.
That's pretty much it. But what we did, and what I like to do, is you could just go ahead and use those two liquids and do that. But I like to put what's on top of the bird, inside of the bird. So we actually took some of the rub and mixed about a teaspoon of the rub into our injection fluid, mixed that up, and then we strained it to take out all the small spices and herbs so that they didn't clog your needle. You don't need those inside. So you take it and you mix it inside your injection liquid, strain it through a cheesecloth or a strainer, make sure all those little bits of spices come out, and then we put it in the bird. So we'll actually have the flavor that's on top of the bird will be inside the bird as well.
All right, so we inject it all over the bird.
Yes.
And you can't go crazy. Well, you can go crazy with injecting. It's not going to hurt it. Just keep injecting. And so that gets the flavor juice in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we talked about brining, we did a dry brine?
Correct.
Now, define brine.
Brine is something that it's something that they use for years for preservation. Again, it goes back to osmosis. In the days before they had refrigeration, they always brined the meat, the ham, the birds with salt because salt's a preservative. So what the salt does is it keeps the water inside the meat. So you can do it a wet method, and the wet method is to go ahead and build a brine. All brines have salt.
Okay.
That's your basic thing. So a wet brine can be as complicated as simple as salt and water. You need about a gallon of water to about a half a cup of salt, and you want to use kosher salt. It's a bigger flake.
Right.
It dissolves. Then you can go crazy from there. You can put cloves. You can put allspice. You can do raki patel. You can have nice afternoon.
It's creamy. It's nutty. We got an afternoon brine, a morning brine, a midday brine, a spring brine, a Thanksgiving brine, a Christmas brine. We brine our cigars like nobody else.
Yeah.
So let me ask you. And then you submerge the whole turkey in the brine.
Right. It goes in the brine, and you want to keep it cool. So
you got to get a big pan to really that can submerge.
Yeah, what I have is a commercial plastic Cambro, but you know what works really well if you're at home. Everybody's got coolers that you take to the beach to with your beers in it. You can use that. Be sure it's cleaned out really well. Take your bird. You can actually make the brine, pour it into the cooler. Make sure the bird is down. If you have to weight it with a plate or something, stays under. Take the cooler and either, A, if it can get into your refrigerator, fine. If not, then you're going to put something on top of it, get a bag of ice, make sure it's sealed, lay that on top. And you're going to need 24 hours for that. I mean, even
keep it submerged.
Yes, and you need it.
Now, we did a dry brine.
Correct.
So what did you have in the brine?
What I did is, If you're going to just put this bird together and you don't want to make it complicated, all you need is salt. You need about a teaspoon of salt for every, about a teaspoon for every pound. And you want to completely get that salt all over your bird.
So you just pat the salt on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But we had some other spices in there as well.
Well, that's what we do. Now, if you want to put some flavor in, there's two ways you can do it. You can just do the dry brine, and then the day you're going to do it, put your rub on top of that if you're going to use rub. But what I do is I look for a rub that has a good concentration of salt in it. So now you know your salt's already in.
So you don't have to add more kosher salt.
You don't have to add anything.
So the one I gave you had salt in it.
Correct.
So basically you just took that, sprinkled it on, and just patted. That was it.
That's it.
That's simple.
That's simple.
So to me, a dry brine would seem much, is not seem, it is much easier than a wet brine.
And if you know what, if you do it, I've made them both. I don't know how many times. And honestly, it's a very small difference in the way it comes out. It still stays very moist, very juicy. And the upside of doing it the way we did, General, with your special rub, is that we'll now, besides the brining, where we brought that in and got our moisture going, we also got some flavor down into the bird, too. But you have to remember, if you're dry brining this bird, you need 24 hours. And the way you dry brine it is salt, rub with salt, regardless. Get it all over the bird. Put it inside. People forget to do that. Put it inside. But then you want to leave
inside the bird.
Inside the bird.
So outside, inside, get in there, get right in there.
Yep, cavity everywhere.
Okay.
Get it all over.
Right.
And then you want to set it in a refrigerator uncovered. This is the thing that people make the mistake. They take and they end up wrapping the bird in aluminum foil or plastic wrap. The beautiful thing about a refrigerator is it's constantly circulating air to get the moisture out of the air.
Right.
So that's taking the moisture out of the air and drying the skin. This is going to give you a crispy skin because now the skin is now dry.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And we've had it in the refrigerator for now 2 days.
2 days.
Over 2 days. And that's the mistake that many people make, me included, is that I just put, you know, that morning I just basically put the rub on it, the brine, inject it, and just let it sit for a few hours. No. Now, and don't cover it in the refrigerator. Keep it uncovered.
Correct.
Got it. That's what we're going to do. And then you say, very important, take it out so that it gets to room temperature. Very, very important. In fact, when I brought it over here, my motorcade smelled like the special Cajun brine that we used and raw turkey. It was an interesting aroma.
I bet it was. But that's, Dave, I'd say that's one of the biggest mistakes everybody makes. So if you're going to do something with that, whether it's a Thanksgiving turkey or whether you're going to go out and take a nice big ribeye and throw it on the grill, get this thing to room temperature. People just get all freaked out about letting something sit on a counter for 3 hours. You're going to cook it. You're going to cook it. You're going to take its internal temperature. The bacteria will definitely go away. But don't start something that's cold and think that it's going to cook at the same time frame as something that's room temperature. So, lieutenants, please, make sure that bird's on the counter. A big bird, that big bird needs 2 hours at room temperature.
At least.
At least.
And take it out earlier. It's not going to hurt it. Don't keep it out a day, but if you keep it out 5-6 hours, you're going to be just fine. We're talking Thanksgiving turkey delicacy maneuvers. We've got multiple methods to cook your Thanksgiving bird with Colonel Ange, Captain Paul, Tommy D'Addio, Tommy D of the Davidoff of Geneva Store and Lounge in the Cigar City, and Corona Cigars in Orlando will be joining us. We've got two special libations, appropriately wild turkey that we'll be sampling, some of their single barrels, and a very nice Perdomo cigar that will accompany that. Colonel Ange, after we have taken out the bird, it is at room temperature. Now the choice is, how do you cook it? There is frying, there is roasting the good old-fashioned way, there is spatchcocking, there is grilling, there is smoking, multiple methods. The quickest method, by far, is frying. And I remember when the first time I ever had a fried turkey, I thought it was going to be oily, goopy, runny, like bad soggy French fries. I was shocked at how moist and juicy and non-oily the turkey was. Just delicious.
Correct. It's flash fried, right? Because that's really what it is. It's flash fried. You drop it in at a 375 degree oil, and then you're figuring about 3.5 to 4 minutes a pound. Keep an eye on it. Get your instant read thermometer. But you're right. It seals it in. It cooks it quickly but thoroughly. Deep frying, really. The only difference of deep frying is the way it comes out with your rub versus the traditional bird. In my opinion, I think it's much more juicy than roasting a bird in the oven.
I mean, we've got let's figure for rounding sake today, we've got 11 pounds, I think we said.
Yeah, 11, 12.
So we're looking roughly anywhere between 35 and 44 minutes. Now, I like to do it 3.5 because I found sometimes with these fryers, they're so efficient that 4 minutes, it can start drying out a little bit. And worst case, if it is still undercooked, you can put it in the oven while it's, you know, just for a little bit. But the other thing, after you take the turkey out and you're done, yes, Captain Paul's saying thermometer. That's correct. But the other thing is you want the turkey to rest a little bit before carving.
Oh, yes.
How long?
Oh, 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Yes, absolutely.
Cigar Sister Lynn is a master carver. She watches all the Food Network shows. She knows how to carve a turkey because I've seen people come in and they decimate that turkey. She knows how to make it look and put it on the platter around the bone so it looks magnificent, like a 5-star restaurant. It is absolutely incredible. Now, there's some other methods. Let's talk about grilling a turkey.
Okay.
We all love to grill, barbecue. How do you grill a turkey?
Well, first thing I would say is the first most beautiful part about grilling a turkey is your oven is open for all your sides. So now you're not...
Bingo.
Yeah, you're not messing around having to do that. Grilling is good. And what I do when I grill the bird is I don't use rub. I will dry brine the bird with salt.
Dry brine with salt.
Yes,
okay.
And then I make a mixture of butter and herbs. Now, you always want to use thyme and sage. Those are the traditional ones, and then
okay.
You can go on from there. If you can use parsley, whatever, rosemary.
Right.
You put that, you get soft butter, you make that, and then you take and put that all over the outside and the inside.
Okay.
Use your hands, soften it up, get it all
right.
done. And then let that sit at room temperature. Now, you wouldn't put it in the refrigerator with the... With the butter mixture on
right.
it, that's after
that's
it comes
after.
Out. All right.
Okay. Room temperature?
That. Yes. Get it to room temperature, then rub the bird down. Set either your charcoal or your gas grill up for indirect cooking, correct?
Indirect cooking we want.
Oh,
we don't
yes.
want it direct.
No, absolutely.
Okay, what temperature?
350.
350 on the indirect portion?
Correct.
And you just lay it right out. Now, you can spatchcock it or you can put the whole bird on top of the grill?
Yes, yeah, correct. If you're going to roast it, your grill, and this is one of the big things that people can't comprehend. A grill is an oven. It's
right.
just outside.
Right.
Yeah, so all you're doing is setting it up the same way you'd set up your oven. Get it at 350. Make sure it's away from the hot side.
Right.
If you can do it traditional, you can put it on the V-rack inside of a roasting pan. Put
right.
your vegetables to make your gravy.
Okay.
If not, I would just make sure that it is lifted above the pan somehow, even if you just...
Okay, so you don't put it directly on the grates.
No.
Okay, so
no.
lift it above.
Yeah.
And how long?
You're going 20 minutes per pound.
20 minutes per pound?
Yes.
And then when it's done, you bring it off, let it sit 30 minutes, and then you carve it. We will continue. Thanksgiving turkey delicacy maneuvers. Colonel Ange, Captain Paul from the Davidoff of Geneva Store and Lounge in the Cigar City. Colonel Ange, you're going to move out to the Ford Theater of Operations Pooch Pit. And when we come back, we'll conduct the National Cigar Litation and Libation Ceremony and get ready to fry the bird. I cannot wait. I am salivating already at Colonel Ange's special Thanksgiving turkey bird as we get ready to celebrate Thanksgiving early here on the Cigar Dave Show.
Get the latest cigars, hand-picked by the General, each month, delivered straight to your door. When you join the Cigar Dave Officers Club for just $22.95 a month, you'll receive 3 premium cigars in a customized Ziploc Cigar Dave pouch. To join, go to CigarDave.com.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Tradition traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and...
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right.
A holiday favorite, It's a Wonderful Life, will be shown at the historic Cascade Theater on Monday, December 23rd. Pack up the family, grab some drinks and popcorn, and enjoy this classic on the big screen. An angel sent from heaven to help a frustrated businessman by showing him what life would be like if he never existed. Tickets available at cascadetheater.org or by calling 530-243-8877.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Did you know that the city of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Come on, let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress and Reading. Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Reading.
Black Bear feels like home.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. Come join me as the new host of brand new Battlefield Expression show, debuting December 7th, 2019. Battlefield Expressions is a go-to program providing veterans and their families an opportunity to call in and ask questions and receive information particular to their individual needs. Veterans and their families who sacrificed and served our country. Every Saturday, 9 to 11, here at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM Talk Radio.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
With an unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy, it's time for National Cigar Litation Maneuvers.
Well, we need a cigar that is going to pair nicely with a fried bird, turkey. We also need something that's going to wash down that nice turkey taste and flavor and the aroma of the cigar. So Tommy DiAdio, Tommy D, the Senior Executive Vice President of Spirits Procurement at the Davidoff of Geneva Store and Lounge in the Cigar City and the three Corona Cigar Stores in Orlando, has brought out appropriately the first of two libations we will sample appropriately, wild turkey. So we've got a great selection. And the first item of Forbids on the Price is Right, as they say, comes to us from Perdomo. This is the Perdomo Double-Aged Vintage Sungrown. Now, it's blended with a rich bourbon barrel-aged Nicaraguan sungrown wrapper. Rare bourbon-aged Cuban seed Nicaraguan binder and filler, offering a nice, rich, spicy, sweet complexity, long, warm finishing smoke. It is a beautiful-looking cigar, and the cigar that we have pulled out, size-wise, is the Gordo Extra. It's a super magnum, I call it, 6.5 inches in length, with a 60 ring gauge. Suggested retail is going to be in the $11, $12 price range. We have featured many Perdomo cigars over the years in the Officers Club. Go back to December 2017. We featured the Perdomo 20th Anniversary Vertical Sampler that had their Connecticut wrapper, their sun-grown, their Maduro. May of this year, the Perdomo Habano Bourbon Barrel Age Vertical Sampler. We've got a special treat for May 2020. But the one thing I love about all the Perdomo cigars, the binder and filler are the same, but they change the wrapper. And Tommy D, that adds such a unique complexity and varies the taste of the binder and filler blend.
Well, the story on this is 10 years age first, and then it's aged 2 more years in a Buffalo Trace barrel.
Oh, it is Buffalo Trace.
Yes, it's Buffalo Trace.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you, one thing about Nick is they grow great tobacco. They've got all their farms are vertically integrated, and the way that he ages his tobacco is absolutely magnificent. So that's what we will enjoy today. This is the Perdomo Vintage 12-year, and this is the Sun Grown.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
Self-sharpening double-edged stainless steel guillotine at my beck and call, ready for action.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
Well, you've heard of the Wild Turkey. This is what we call the Wild Welder, because when you look at this lightation device from the Cigar Dave R&D Labs, this looks like a welding torch. So we call it the Wild Welder, and that's what we will use today. I mean, this thing produces such massive amounts of heat that actually you could put this on the back of the Batmobile and it would propel it. There's no doubt about it. Big tank. It's got a nice, almost feels like a weapon in your hand. I mean, you could actually shoot this thing, and it is just a very heavy, big tank. The Wild Welder from the Cigar Dave R&D Laboratories.
Cigar pre-lightation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
Perfect cut. I will now toast the foot of this cigar. Captain Paul, you have already begun the lightation process before we even started the show. You kind of jumped the gun a little bit.
Well, General, it's creamy, it's coconut.
No, Nick wouldn't say that. No, Nick would not say that.
Absolutely. No, do you remember when we saw Nick in his factory? Was that incredible?
No, that was we didn't see Nick in the factory. You're thinking of Ernesto.
No. He brings everything into Miami, doesn't he? From the factory, and
yes.
He's got all his family working there.
Oh, yes. Oh, we did go to Purdue. Yes,
exactly.
We're at the offices.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
we did go to the offices.
What
That's
an experience.
Right. Yes. We did.
They recheck everything. He's got his whole family. He's got to keep them working.
No, you're thinking of Padron.
Or Padron. I'm sorry. Oh.
But Perdomo, let me tell you something. At their factory down in Nicaragua, they are absolute hawks when it comes to quality. Every cigar is draw tested. If something doesn't meet, Nick's got specific instructions. If it doesn't meet Nick's test, kick it out. Reject it. That's very simple. And that's why all their cigars, great construction, great draw, starts with great tobacco, grows it all, vertically integrated. I know, Tom, you've been down there, haven't you?
I haven't been there. Not to have.
Impressive facility. Very impressive.
Well, the draw on this cigar is absolutely incredible. So smooth.
So is the flavor. I mean, just the notes. Little sweetness. You don't get a ton of bourbon barrel,
No. But
you get just enough.
Yeah,
just very, very nice. And again, people think many Nicaraguan cigars are going to be very strong, very full. Not necessarily. Not the case. If you know how to blend tobacco and age tobacco, Nick knows how to do that. It is fantastic. He is vertically integrated, grows all his own wrapper tobacco with the exception of some Cameroon that he puts on some cigars and the Connecticut Ecuador or Connecticut USA. But all the other Habano wrappers that he uses, the sun-grown, all grown at his factories. All right, so we've got a fantastic cigar, the Perdomo Vintage Age 12 Sun-Grown Barrel-Aged, properly lit. Now we need the proper accoutrement.
Scotch, bourbon, and beer. Commence thirst-quenching libationary maneuvers.
Thanksgiving is approaching. I can think of nothing more appropriate than sampling some Wild Turkey bourbon. Now, Tommy, this is the Wild Turkey Kentucky Spirit single barrel that you have selected.
Yes.
you and Jeff Borshowitz, the proprietor of Corona Cigar and the Davidoff of Geneva Store and Lounge, you have personally selected. Did you go up to Kentucky
no,
to
this,
do this?
This one we picked in the office. This was picked with, this is a collaboration with the Orlando Whiskey Society.
The Orlando Whiskey Society. Why do we not have a Cigar City Whiskey Society?
We have a Tampa Bay. I got like 10 of them at the bar.
No, no, we're going to do our own.
Yes, we're supposed
yes,
to be doing our own.
We're going to do our own, Tommy. We're going to start that. You and I are the founding
you
members.
You have to get me a Blanton's.
Well, I'm working on it. I know what you, I'm on it, Tommy, okay? I'm a five-star, okay? I'm working on it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Don't worry about it. Now, this bourbon whiskey was bottled August 30th, 2019, from barrel number 407, stored in warehouse C on Rick number 46. This is 101 proof, 58.5%, or correction, 50.5% alcohol by volume. Now, tell me about Kentucky Spirit, because you don't find these in the store.
Yeah, that's the new label for it. The old label was a fatter bottle. Russell's Reserve, we're going to be trying next. These are the identical mash builds, but Wild Turkey Kentucky Spirit's aged on a lower floor and 2 years less than Russell's Reserve.
So it should be a little tamer, because you
don't
have the heat,
yes,
heat rising.
Correct.
All right, so we will say cheers to everybody. Fantastic. We'll take a sip. Wonderful aroma. A little maple, a little honey. Definitely getting a little wood, little oak on the nose, tasty, little bit of cinnamon sizzle, I would say a tad bit of warmth, take another sip.
Hits the front of the tongue more than it does in the back.
You hit it, but on the way down, you have some extended warmth. So on the exclusive CDWF Cigar Dave Warmth Factor, I would say this is about a 7.95.
Yeah.
A lot of warmth going down. Notes of maple, notes of honey, a lot of cinnamon.
This retails for about 44 to 59, depending on where you're going. We sell for $49.95.
This is very nice. Very, very nice. And so you took the entire barrel, and how many bottles did you get out of it?
This one we got 190.
That's between four stores, so when it's done, it's done.
We're going to be picking another one in April.
Well, I make sure I'm in. Let's tell Jeff to get me on that tasting, please. I want to make sure. And then later, next hour, we'll, same mash bill, the Russell's Reserve Private Barrel Selection, single barrel, non-chilled filtered, that we will enjoy. So we'll get a nice little vertical tasting. But I love, I tell you, I love the label on this. Just love the whole look on it. And it's signed by Master Distillers, Jimmy Russell, and Eddie Russell.
Yep.
We've had them on the show before.
He was here 2 weeks ago, Eddie.
And you didn't tell me? I would have been over here. We would have been here sampling with you. You got to start telling me these things, Tommy. Don't be so clandestine. I mean, you got to spread the wealth, especially when it comes to bourbon tasting. All right, so we've got our cigar, we've got our bourbon. Captain Paul, what do you think?
You know, I'm still feeling the warmth deep in my throat. It's delicious. My gosh, what a flavor, and it lasts.
Colonel Ange, out in the remote pooch pit. In the Ford Theater of Operations, what do you think about this Wild Turkey Kentucky Spirit single barrel?
I'm just going to sit in a car with the rest of the bottle, General. Have a great show.
No problem. I can handle turkey flying maneuvers. So, Colonel Ange, let's get an update.
Okay.
We started the oil. We turned it on just over, I would say, about an hour and 20 minutes ago. It is cool outside. And that's one thing to remember, that if you are going to fry a turkey, whether it's electric or using propane, and it is cold outside, you have to take that into account, because the oil has to warm up to 375. And when it's cold outside, I know I did one in Buffalo one time, and it was, I think, 20 degrees. It took about 4 hours for that oil to warm up. But we're at about an hour. What are we, about an hour and a half or so?
Yep. Yeah, we're probably about 5 minutes away, General.
Perfect. And as you lift up the lid, it's nice and hot?
Yes. Yep, we're almost there.
Now, last year I used the oil. I cooked the turkey at 350 degrees, again at 3.5 minutes, and I found when I did 375 that it tended to be a little bit drier. So I used personally 350, and it seemed to work.
Well, 375 is recommended.
Okay.
You know, and you know, you can go both ways. It's just a matter of the amount of time. You know, it's everything else. It's all about just taking it out prior to the time you set and checking the temperature. And
okay,
that's what we're going to do. We're going to lift this bird up at 25 minutes into it and check it and give us a good feel for when it goes. This really isn't a set it and forget it. It really isn't. Even on the grill, no matter where you're putting it, this is too big a bird. even at 10, 12 pounds, to just think it's going to be done when the clock tells you that.
And I have never done that. I've never midway lifted it up.
Have to, generally.
So lift it up, and how long should you wait before you stick the thermometer in the bird?
Oh, immediately.
Oh, immediately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Immediately. Where do you like to check it, the breast and the thigh?
I check the breast because that's the main place. I mean, if you're when you know where your breast is cooked, when this thing hits like 160, 161, it's going to sit. It'll raise up for the rest. So I go to the breast. That's what people look for most. Guys are always searching for the breast first.
Well, I am a boob man myself.
Yeah, that's what
Never
it's all
met
about.
A boob I didn't love. So therefore, I will put the temperature of the thermometer in the rack in the boob first. And I will check it, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and you know, if you find that after you bring it out, the breast is there, you bring it and you cut it, and the thighs look a little bit pink, you just get your oven going, take those thighs that you've cut, put them in the oven for about 10 more minutes at 425. That's all. It's not a big deal.
Now, if the turkey has been surgically augmented with a breast implant, does that change things?
I haven't hit one yet, but again, General, you know I'm not as experienced as you are.
Tommy, what is your preference on the type of method of cooking your bird?
You know, sometimes we deep fry it. Sometimes we
smoke it.
Smoke it.
Yeah.
So either one of those two I like.
Well, we've talked about frying. We've talked about grilling. When we come back, there's still three other methods. We've got to talk about roasting the turkey, which is primarily how...
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds December 19th at Wind River Resort and Casino inside Elements Lounge. Join me along with Pat Karch on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Mike Costa on drums, and Lou White on sax, flute, and clarinet. Enjoy an evening with your favorite Christmas music along with jazz classics. That's 6 to 9 p.m. in Elements Lounge. For reservations, call 243-3377.
A Cascade favorite holiday tradition, Thomasine's Celtic Christmas, returns to the Cascade Theater on Saturday, December 21st, filled with Celtic singing, music, dancing, and stories. It's a night of joy, laughter, and the giving spirit of the season that is great for the whole family. Get tickets today at cascadetheater.org or by calling 530-243-8877.
This is Carl Lindebaugh, owners of KCNR Radio.
We just want to say happy holidays from everyone at the KCNR family. With the giving season upon us, we wanted to thank you for living local. The Reading community means a lot to us.
So this season, as you're driving through town doing your holiday shopping, support the advertisers that support this station. Local shops are often overlooked, but that's where you'll find the most unique and touching gifts this Christmas.
Live local, listen local, love local. And from everyone here at KCNR,
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone, from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to CigarRights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, CigarRights.org.
Hold it right there. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. the general resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2. Beta males run on tofu. Alpha males run on meat, steak, cigars, and Cigar Dave, the trifecta of pleasure.
And as we prepare for Thanksgiving, we run on the bird, gobble, gobble, turkey. No tofurkey, no vegan turkey, nothing that is artificially produced in a laboratory that contains soy or any other garbage. It's a good old-fashioned USDA Tom turkey. As we continue with Thanksgiving turkey delicacy maneuvers, as we prepare for the big day coming up next Thursday, we are coming to you today from the Davidoff of Geneva Store and Lounge, our Ford Theater of Operations, where we have moved Command Center Alpha for a very good reason. We're enjoying great cigars, great libations, and just outside in the Forward Theater of Pooch Pit Operations, where we have set up the mobile pooch pit, or as they say in Canada, the mobile pooch pit, eh? We've got Colonel Ange and Captain Paul that are both out there. Colonel Ange.
Yes, General.
We have set the oil. We started about an hour and a half ago. Update, please, on the oil temperature in the Butterball Electric XXL turkey fryer.
375 and ready to roll, General.
We're ready to roll. Now, let's talk. This is very, very important. If you are going to fry a turkey, there are several safety precautions you must take. First of all, always make sure. I don't even like to use an electric fryer in the house, even though they say you can. I always do it outside. I make sure that I have ample amounts of either drop cloths or plastic bags underneath in case there's any splatter. If you're using propane, very important, you don't do it underneath anything. Make sure there's no fire hazards around. That's very, very important. The second thing is you want to have the proper safety gear. Colonel Ange, I brought safety goggles. Do you have them in position?
Yes, General, I do. They're ready to roll.
And we've got special silicone heat-proof gloves that are good to about 900 degrees that extend all the way up to your elbow, which is very important. As you are dropping the turkey in, you sometimes can get splatter, and you want to be very, very careful. Because if you are burned, it is not. You don't want to singe any hair. You don't want to burn. You want to enjoy the turkey, but you don't want to spend Thanksgiving in an emergency room.
Correct, General. That would be an improper way to enjoy your bird delivered by a nurse. Wait a minute. Let me think about it.
Now, whether you use an electric fryer or a propane fryer, you still put the turkey in some sort of either a mesh device or with this fryer, the electric fryer that comes with a basket. You stuff it in there, and you want to make sure the turkey is dry. Water and oil do not mix.
Correct. Again, this is the big thing. You want to be sure that that bird has no water, especially the frozen bird, no ice.
And Sergeant Steve is going to move out. We'll take pictures and video. Sergeant Steve, I got all the controls here. We've got 5 minutes, so we are good. Because Colonel Ange, Captain Paul is there ready with the microphone as you take it. Now, you're going to do it over what, about a minute? You're going to take your time slowly putting it down into the oil.
Correct, General. You do not drop this bird like you're coming out of an airplane. It's a low and slow, easy drop.
All right, fantastic. Is Sergeant Steve in position, ready to video and photograph the submersion of the turkey?
Yes, everybody's in position, General.
In position. All right. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin turkey submission maneuvers. Oh, I can hear it. I can hear that turkey beginning to fry. Listen to that. That sounds absolutely magnificent. Our 11-pound bird going into the Butterball XXL turkey fryer. Colonel Ange?
General?
Sounds like you had a successful submersion.
Yes, we have a successful draft bird. The bird is draft. The bird is bubbling. We're on our way.
You have the timer set. We're doing what, 3.5 or 4 minutes?
3.5 minutes. I got a timer set for 25 minutes, which will give us our first check. And I'd rather go with that than any prescribed time that comes out of a manual.
Fantastic. Excellent. And it's covered, and basically you don't do anything until we get ready to set the temperature. You'll never believe who just came walking in here. You know how those politicians love to just come up and get all that publicity. The former mayor of the Cigar City of Tampa, Bob Buckhorn. I'm coming in this morning, and all of a sudden I hear Dave, and I turn around, and it's, by the way, Mayor Bob Buckhorn, the two-term mayor of the Cigar City of Tampa. Bob, you don't have the button-down shirt anymore. You don't have the tie. You don't have the suit. You're looking very casual these days.
I am indeed. In fact, I've got nothing.
Nothing going on, huh? You had lunch down the way here from the Davidoff store and lounge. And actually, the last time we had you on the show was the Cigar Dave
Festival.
Pleasure Fest. I think it was about 5 years ago, wasn't it? Nor 7 years ago? Right, we had John, and Colonel Ange was there with the turkey, and we had a great time. So I remember, Bob, you said before you left office, I better enjoy it because as of tomorrow when I'm no longer mayor, nobody's going to return my calls. Has that been the case?
That is very true. My jokes are not nearly as funny as they used to be. You know, they took my Suburban, they took my police detail, they took my police radio. You know, I'm just.
They took your mayor vest.
They took my mayor vest. They took it all.
All the good stuff. You know, I'll never.
I'm not even a mayor of my own house nowadays.
Well, if you need remedial alpha training, come with me. 24-hour boot camp. You'll be ready to go. But you're the only male in the house. You have two daughters and your wife.
Two daughters.
So you're it.
Yeah.
So there's very limited testosterone in the Buckhorn residence.
Fortunately, I have this big German Shepherd that keeps me company.
I do too. I didn't know you had a German Shepherd. Yeah. What's his name?
Kieran.
Kieran, all right, I've got Sultan and Baron.
Yep.
So fantastic. What it's interesting because George Bush was interviewed after the first George Bush, George H.W. Bush, a few months after he left office, and he said, "What's the thing he missed most?" And he said, "Well, gotta tell you, used to have this button on the side of my bed, and I'd press it in the morning, and in a few minutes, fresh coffee would come out. So we're at Houston in our new house, and I roll over, I get up, and I look for the button. There's no button there. So I looked over at Barbara, and I said, Bar, how about getting me some coffee? She said, George, you get your own coffee. So it's a big adjustment when you're used to that. There's a transition.
There is a transition. And, you know, I knew that day would come.
Yep.
And so I was prepared for it. But
and there's term limits here in Tampa.
Yes. Yeah, there are term limits here in Tampa.
If you're in Buffalo, by the way, Mayor Byron Brown's on his 48th term, I believe.
Well, you know, General, you talk about Buffalo. I'm a 24-year recovering politician.
It took us. It takes that long, huh?
So, yeah, well, and I practice every day. Oh.
Yeah. Well, Bob, stay right there. I know you're a cigar connoisseur, and I know you're good friends with the Newmans, and big booster of cigars.
Absolutely.
Always proud that. And that's the one thing I always say about Tampa is that we're proud of our cigar heritage. We never say, "Oh, cigars." We're very proud. So stay right there. We're going to continue with Thanksgiving turkey delicacy maneuvers. Colonel Ange is out at the Ford Theater of Operation Pooch Pit. We've got probably about 40 minutes to go on the turkey. And when we come back, we will talk with Bob Buckhorn. We've got Captain Paul, Colonel Ange. We're going to sample another bourbon selection, the Brussels Reserve Private Barrel Selection for Corona Cigar and Davidoff. As we continue pre-Thanksgiving maneuvers front and center on the Cigar Dave Show. Stay tuned. Hour 2 comes your way next.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Riverfront Playhouse presents A Christmas Carol by Christopher Sharrow, adapted from Charles Dickens and directed by Jennifer Levins, November 23rd through December 21st. With an intimate cast and a theater presentation, A Christmas Carol is a ghost story of redemption and a lesson that giving isn't just a seasonal affair. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy the store running or at the door. A Christmas Carol, November 23rd through December 21st at the Riverfront Playhouse, sponsored by Tri-Counties Bank.
To contraband devices being smuggled into the country.
You watch Prohibition, you look at, you know, with the alcohol, you look at cigarettes, you look at all. If you don't give it to them, it's going to come here illegally.
Yes,
okay?
Right.
They're going to make it. But instead of Reynolds or Juul or, you know, legitimate companies, good companies making something that's safe, they're going to be selling stuff on a street corner that could be horrible.
The president heard a number of arguments for anywhere from a near total ban on e-cigarette flavors, including mint and menthol, to raising the limit for legal purchases from 18 to 21 years old. GOP Senator Lindsey Graham, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, launching a probe into the role of former Vice President Joe Biden played in the firing of a Ukrainian prosecutor, even as he was investigating the company that employed Biden's son, Hunter. Meanwhile, a former governor of Iowa is throwing his support behind Biden in his bid to become the Democrat presidential nominee.
Tom Vilsack also served in the Obama administration. He told the crowd gathered in Des Moines, while there are several good Democratic candidates, former VP Biden has what it takes to lead the country now and beat President Trump.
Joe Biden has offered a progressive and a realistic vision of how to move our country forward.
Biden realizes how important this endorsement is with the Iowa caucuses.
I've never thought I couldn't, but I believe, particularly with the endorsement of the Vilsacks, that we're going to win the caucus on February 3rd.
Vilsack was twice on the Democrats' short list for vice president in 2004 and 2016. I'm Julie Walker.
More at townhall.com.
Bastion Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now, like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
Things just keep getting worse for Britain's Prince Andrew.
Prince Andrew is scaling back travel and facing the unknown. As he steps away from the royal role he's embraced during his entire adult life, the prince has suffered numerous setbacks in the 6 days since the disastrous TV interview when he defended his friendship with Jeffrey Epstein, the convicted sex offender. Now, one newspaper is arguing the need for urgent reform of the royal household. The Times urges Andrew's older brother and heir to the throne, Prince Charles, to take steps to streamline and make the royal family more modest. Charles de Ledesma, London.
Not a smooth unveiling of Tesla's new electric pickup truck at the L.A. Auto Show. While demonstrating a supposedly shatterproof Tesla armor glass, the truck's window shattered twice when hit with a large metal ball. The newest Tesla is scheduled to roll off the production line in 2021 with a base price of $39,000. More news at townhall.com. The state of Alaska says it was wrong in sending a woman a letter citing her same-sex marriage in denying her application for a state oil well fund check.
The Department of Law says Denali Nicole Smith was notified earlier this month that she was eligible for a permanent fund dividend. The department says a booklet for the agency charged with determining eligibility still included a provision struck down as unconstitutional that said so-called same-sex marriages are not recognized. The department says applications that could have been denied under the law were to have been put on hold pending clarification from the Department of Law, but a denial inadvertently went to Smith. Patrick Frost reporting.
Guest lineups for the Sunday TV news shows. Senator Amy Klobuchar scheduled for ABC's This Week. Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff on NBC's Meet the Press. Trump counselor Kellyanne Conway guesting on CBS's Face the Nation Sunday. Check out more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
From the campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country. Here's your host, Scott Bertrand.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into another edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. On this episode, we talk with Todd Mack from Hillsdale's Spanish department about the current protest involving Spain and Catalonia. Writer Michael Walsh joins us to look at President Trump's re-election possibilities and what he calls Trump trauma. Ben Whalen from Hillsdale's English department will take us through Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. And Lee Cole will talk about being a student at Hillsdale, then returning to teach here. First, we're joined by Dr. Todd Mack, Assistant Professor of Spanish at Hillsdale College. Dr. Mack, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Talking today about a subject maybe people have seen headlines but don't know much about, protest, unrest in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with those who are really unaware of what's happening in Spain. Describe the current situation there.
The gist of it is that there is a strong movement for independence in Catalonia for a number of reasons that I'm sure we'll get into. There is no real legal mechanism because of the way that the Spanish government has been set up.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've resorted to taking to the streets in protest, and we're seeing some of the biggest mass protests in European history, for sure, happening in Spain now, largely peaceful, and people just trying to find a way to get what the government is unwilling or unable to give them.
So you describe the size of the protests, which might answer a bit of this next question, but is the conflict or is this disagreement between the leaders, Catalonia, Spain mm-hmm. leaders, or is it also among the people of both sides, so to speak?
It really is driven by popular discontent in Catalonia. When we talk about Catalonia, we're talking about Barcelona and the region around Barcelona. It's kind of the Mediterranean, northern Mediterranean coast of okay. Spain. It's a pretty big area. It would have a population bigger than Denmark. Mm-hmm. So it would be, a small European country, but not the smallest of European countries. And they have a lot of economic mm-hmm. and cultural weight in Europe. And support for independence has traditionally been, I think, fairly low in Catalonia. At times, it's been quite high. Since about 2010, it jumped from about 10% to around 50%, and since then it's been kind of hovering around that 50% number, which makes it kind of doubly complicated
sure.
because they don't have a supermajority even inside of Catalonia, but they have some really compelling arguments.
So you mentioned that the protests have been mostly peaceful
right.
thus far. How long have these protests been going on? How have the pro-independence efforts been treated by Spain thus far?
Yeah, so this stems from we could go back in history to the, we could go to the 1500s or the 1400s. We could go to the 1700s. There's a real turning point in this. We could go at points in the 1800s, certainly in the early 1900s. Really, things have heated up since about 2010.
Mm-hmm.
There are these different regions, nations really, inside of Spain, because they come from these medieval kingdoms. They spoke different languages. And under the Constitution of 1978, so there was a dictatorship in Spain, the Franco dictatorship that came into power after the Spanish Civil War. And at the end of that dictatorship in the late 70s, they drafted a constitution. They did this kind of miraculous but also really complicated transition from a really legitimate dictatorship. Now, there were concentration camps inside of Spain all during the late 1900s or mid-1900s. And they draft this constitution. They say, we're going to become a democracy. But in order to become a democracy, we don't want to have a giant civil war. So we're going to draft this thing, and everybody better sign on because the alternative is to hash this out in a civil war again, right. And nobody wants that. So they sign this constitution. They ratify this constitution in 78. The constitution says that Spain is indissolvable, that it is that there is no mechanism for anybody to leave. It also gives these different autonomous regions opportunities to write their own statutes. It would be kind of like a state constitution, okay. But way more powerful than a state constitution. And so they say, you write these things and send them to the government. We'll approve these or not. So Catalonia writes one in the early 70s, and they write a new one in the early 2000s with the understanding from Madrid, basically saying, you guys write this thing, we're gonna pass it. So they write it, and it passes, and it actually is in force for 2 years. And then we get a new president who's conservative, pushing against the Catalans, and then there's this huge kind of morass of legalities that happens from 2006 to 2010.
Mm-hmm.
But basically in 2010, the Supreme Court says, you know what, actually that thing that we said was okay, it's not okay, which is really shady,
yeah,
on the part of,
yeah,
the Spanish government. And the Catalans say, you know what, we're done with this, we're out. And that's when you see this support jump from 10% to around 50%. And then they say, we're out. And Spain says, you can't leave, there's no way for you to do that. And they say, we're gonna vote on this. And they say, you can't vote on that, that's illegal. And they say, well, there's no legal way for us to do this, so we're gonna have a referendum. So they start doing unofficial straw polls, and they keep moving towards kind of, we're being more and more serious about this. Spain, Madrid continues to say, you cannot do this. This is illegal. And they say, then let's have a negotiation. Let's talk about this. And they say, we're not going to negotiate with you. We hold all the cards here. And they say, fine, and we're going to vote. And so that's kind of where everything starts to really heat up in 2017.
Right.
They say, we're going to have a referendum, and we're going to vote on this. And whatever the referendum says, that's what we're going to do. So they hold a referendum. In terms of numbers, 90% of the people who voted for independence, but it's tricky because a lot of people certainly stayed home.
Sure.
But then the leaders of Catalonia say, okay, we said that we were going to do this. We have millions of people telling us that we want to leave, so we're going to sign a Declaration of Independence. So they did in 2017. They signed this unilateral Declaration of Independence that we're the Republic of Catalonia now. And that's when really things, I think, hit the news and people started talking about this.
Let me step back just a little bit. What is the drive for independence? Are there things that Spain is doing that Catalonians and Catalans don't want to be a part of? Do they simply want to sort of have their own culture, their own place, more so than they do now? What's the driving force there?
Well, the easy argument is that this is all economic, because Barcelona is this economic hub and lots of banks and lots of business that runs through Barcelona, and they pay a lot in taxes, and their returns are not always equitable for them. But this is really not about economics anymore. It's about identity, and it's about like the core of these people. And I think that that's the hard thing for people to understand. I talk to people and they're like, I've been to Barcelona. They are not a repressed people, right? Like, you go to Barcelona and you can go to all the stores and you can see all the tourists, and you're not seeing people like being beat up in the streets, although, right, although nowadays it's more common than it used to be. It's not, you don't have to dig very far before you find real inconsistencies between the Spanish government, who says rule of law and we have a constitution and we can't just destabilize everything if we were just to let the Catalans go, and the way that they act, which is very often against their own constitution. They're acting in ways, and it's not like one death blow. It's more like death by a thousand cuts. And the Catalans look at the Spanish government and say, you know what? Don't talk to me about rule of law, because there's all kinds of problems with separation of powers, the way that the courts have been involved in this thing, that make them supremely skeptical of the validity of that 1978 constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, you know, hold up this piece of paper and say, no, but we signed a constitution. But if you're not following the constitution, then, you know, do you really have a leg to stand on at that point?
Dr. Todd Mack, Assistant Professor of Spanish here at Hillsdale College. Thanks for joining us on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks.
Up next, writer Michael Walsh joins us to talk about President Trump's re-election possibilities and what he's coined Trump trauma. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
The holiday season is here, so why not give the gift that keeps giving? Perhaps a social membership or golf lessons. Riverview Golf and Country Club has been providing home away from home entertainment. Find out how you can become a member today. Go to riverviewgolf.net. That's riverviewgolf.net.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes establishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from? Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta. Uncle Bob, where did I come from? You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Follow us on Twitter. Always know when a new episode is available at Hillsdale Radio. We're joined now by Michael Walsh, noted writer. His works include The Devil's Pleasure Palace and The Fiery Angel, a new book coming in 2020 called Last Stands. You can also read his work in the New York Post occasionally. And on Twitter as well, at D. Kahane Rules. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And
great to be here.
You are literally here on the campus of Hillsdale College for about a week or so. What are your plans here?
Well, my plans are to do exactly as I'm told. So when I was invited to come through my good friend and colleague at National Review, John Miller, I said, I'll just go and do whatever you want me to do. So I'm here to talk to students mostly, obviously, and to give an address about toxic masculinity, which is taken in part from my new book, Last Stands, which will be published around Christmas, early Christmas next year. And just trigger as many students as possible, basically.
Michael Walsh with us. You can read him occasionally in the New York Post. And I want to talk to you about a piece from a few weeks ago, how Trump trauma could hand the Democrats a victory in 2020. So this phrase that you've coined here, Trump trauma, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean it's a reference to the apparently never-ending series of crises that somehow find their way into the West Wing of the White House. And I say apparent because so many of them are created by the Democrats who have simply refused to accept the results of the 2016 election. And I've been writing about this in the Post since before the election. But the Democrats didn't see it coming, so that's why they're so angry about the Electoral College and why they want to get rid of it. Any election that they lose, they think they've been cheated out of. And any election that they win, they think is what the voice of the people.
Mm-hmm. With a mandate.
Yeah, so they've made a lot of noise about the president. And, you know, he helps, certainly. He's a master troll. He does tend to fire off Twitter messages at the crack of dawn. So that's kind of like, you know, feeding the zoo animals the first thing in the morning. And then all the reporters, because Twitter is essentially the way reporters communicate with each other.
Right.
Then they all start jumping up and down and throwing things. And off we go. And it's another day. But what they're counting on is that people will say, oh, you know, what we want is just a nice, quiet, safe presidency like Obama. I mean, that is a problem. This latest impeachment farce has been planned since day one, basically. And it came in right on schedule. It doesn't matter what the Ukrainian phone call is, just is the MacGuffin, as Hitchcock said. It's the uranium in the wine bottles in Notorious. It's a plot device that has absolutely no meaning. And so this has no meaning. It's just to damage him going into the campaign. And, well, we'll see at the other end. But he still has the same path to 270 he had before, and that didn't get any worse. So I expect him to be reelected.
The media is covering this president like no other. And if you watched most news outlets, you'd assume there's nothing else happening in the world except what Trump did, said, or is thinking about doing or saying.
Correct.
In that way, and you mentioned Democrats and media very much acting in tandem here, would you say it is a strategy? It is a strategy to exhaust the American people into some sort of change vote in 2020?
Yes, that's precisely what it is. 90% of the media on their side, they can always change the subject. So you notice, Robert, what was that guy's name again? That big tall guy, the FBI, Robert Mueller. Yeah, Robert Mueller. Whatever happened to him? Yeah. So this is what they do, and the Republicans and the conservatives have to be aware of the nature of your enemy. My new book is about military history, about last stands, and how important it is strategically and tactically to understand the nature of your enemy. And the first rule of any war is never think your enemy is a pushover. Never overestimate your own capability, nor underestimate his, nor underestimate his will to keep fighting until the fight is completely done. So the Democrats will never give up. Never. Never, 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 never. The conservatives make this mistake over and over again. Let's look at the record. In 72, Richard Nixon was reelected in a tremendous landslide, 49 states to one. 2 years later, he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to get him, believe me. They'd always hate. People, I mean, younger people in particular don't remember how hated Nixon was. When he got reelected in such a landslide, they thought they had to take him out by any means necessary. They had a problem with Reagan, which was that he was just too likable, and the country loved him, and they just could not get at him.
Michael Walsh with us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. If it is a strategy to exhaust the American people through these ongoing quote-unquote crises, what do you recommend for the president's supporters and defenders? Is it a strategy of constant engagement? Do you want to take on these crises as they happen? Is it better to hold your powder dry until closer to the actual election, closer to 2020, if, again, the strategy is to sort of exhaust people with all this?
Yeah, I think the one thing the president does, and I think a lot of us wish he might do less of, is tweet. I like when he trolls them and drives them crazy. But right now, literally everything he does, he cannot breathe without some Reuters or the Hill. Trump breathes in White House. Democrats fear climate change. I mean, it doesn't matter what he does or what he thinks. Even if he does something that is completely legal, for example, repealing a prior president's presidential directive, they take him to the Supreme Court about it. He cannot win. So therefore, it's his instinct to fight back, and we like that because the second Bush certainly did not do that against the left. On the other hand, because he keeps his cards so close to the vest and really doesn't trust anybody outside his family circle, it makes it difficult for people to act in his best interest. I've had a lot of friends go through that White House, let me tell you. I've sat in the office right next door to the Oval Office as people are led off to execution out on the South Lawn. I wish that he would listen more to people who have his best interest in heart, but look, he's a 72-year-old man now, and he's not going to change what, you know, if he's so dumb, how come he's president, as we used to say about almost every president.
Michael Walsh, final question. As you look toward 2020, even if the president, you mentioned approval ratings are pretty stagnant in the piece, even if he's not able to convince any voters to change their minds, perhaps in 2016, are there more Trump voters to be found in those red areas getting redder across the nation?
I would say yes. I mean, Selena Zito, who, along with me, I think we were the only two people to get that election right, mostly because we're not professional election people. Mm-hmm. And so we were just standing outside looking at a series of facts and going on our feelings. I think so. I think he's going to have to win where he won before. He's going to have to win Pennsylvania. If he loses Pennsylvania, I think the election is over, and you'll know very quickly on election night. And Pennsylvania is a very tricky state. It's two big cities and Midwestern farmland. I think he has to win Ohio. He will. I think he'll win Florida. He needs that. I think he has to keep North Carolina. He might. North Carolina's turning blue. But Michigan, here in Michigan, these are places that I think he's going to have to do better than he did last time. If he can put Minnesota in his column, I think he's in good shape.
Michael Walsh, writer. His works include The Devil's Pleasure Palace and The Fiery Angel. New book in 2020, Last Stands. You can also follow him on Twitter as well, at D. Kahane Rules. Michael Walsh, thank you for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you.
Up next, Ben Whalen from Hillsdale's English Department takes us through Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
Absolutely fell in love with everything about the facilities here. The kitchen crew is awesome. The meals are wonderful. I find it interesting as I look around the dining room how every table seems pleasantly happy. I mean, they're not just sitting there eating. There's conversation. I mean, everybody here, everyone that works here has treated me like I am special. I mean, it's just amazing.
Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and ask me how you can have us pay for your move or how you can save $1,000 when you move in. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell Avenue, or check out our website at river-commons.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
So what's Scorecard Stripling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What would we be doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give them to him? I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertrand. For more information about Hillsdale for prospective students, for alumni, or friends of Hillsdale, head to hillsdale.edu. We're joined now by Dr. Ben Whalen, Assistant Professor of English here at Hillsdale College. Dr. Whalen, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
We talk Shakespeare with you. You teach a course on Shakespeare here in the English department. And today, Twelfth Night is the play. What do we need to know about the characters and plot of Twelfth Night?
So the principal characters, we have a Duke Orsino, and he's in love with a woman, Olivia. But Olivia, whose brother has recently died, is not having any of his suit. And she doesn't want any lover. She doesn't want Duke Orsino in particular. So she's shut herself up in her house, and she has with her several kinsmen and servants, so they make up a sort of minor set of characters who are very funny and have their own sort of subplot, and that's Toby, Sir Toby, and Sir Andrew, and Maria, her maidservant, and Festy the clown, and then she also has a servant, Malvolio. And then we have another pair of characters. The second scene of the play has a shipwreck where a pair of twins, identical twins, but male and female, Viola and Sebastian, are separated in the shipwreck. And so Viola thinks that her brother has drowned, and she decides to dress. She's in a strange new land, and she decides to dress as a man and disguise her identity as a form of protection. Mm-hmm. She enters the court. It turns out she enters Duke Orsino's service and bears his messages of love to Olivia, only to have Olivia fall in love with her in her disguise. And then we have a sort of wonderful love triangle and confusion and conflict between the characters and the minor characters end up deciding to trick Malvolio, who's the principal servant of Olivia. And they lead him to think that Olivia will accept his suit. So he dresses in this absurd way in a very memorable scene. And he is tricked and made a fool of. He's always irritable and angry. And this further exacerbates that. But at the end, Sebastian appears. He hasn't, in fact, drowned. And so Olivia is able to marry Sebastian. And Viola, in the service of the Duke, has fallen in love with him. So she ends up marrying him at the end of the play. So we have a sort of a wonderful... I've read one scholar called it a husband ex machina at the end of the play. The appearance of Sebastian resolves the love triangle, and we have a pair of marriages at the close of the play.
So what is Twelfth Night, and why has it become the title of this play?
Yeah, I like to surprise my students by telling them this is actually a Christmas play.
Yeah.
Twelfth Night refers to the last of the 12 days of Christmas. So this is January 6th, and that's...
Sorry, you don't count toward Christmas.
Christmas. Yes. That's right. That's right. And so after Christmas, leading to Epiphany, traditionally when the three wise men came to the infant Jesus in the manger, and that's actually an interesting and nice element in the play because I think there are certain epiphanic motifs throughout, including the startling appearance of Sebastian at the end. But Twelfth Night refers to this 12th day of Christmas. It's a Christmas play, but that alone, I think, wouldn't clarify it for listeners as much as this point. In Renaissance England, the 12th night was also called the Feast of Misrule. Mm. And the tradition was that in a town and in a family and in a village, you might bake a big cake with a bean in it or a coin or a little figure and then cut the cake, and whoever got the bean or the coin would be the lord of misrule. And so it would often be a child or a servant would suddenly be in charge of the household for a day, and they would turn all of the hierarchies on their heads, and there would be wild revelry and a lot of celebration and song and dance. And that sort of topsy-turvy world is invoked, I think, throughout mm-hmm. this play where we have different people in disguises and with different aspirations. And part of this revelry and festivity that marks the play from beginning to end.
There are a couple of characters here, a handful of characters that are explicitly comic in nature.
Yeah.
How do they help advance the plot? What's going on here?
Yeah, one of the most unforgettable is he's one of Shakespeare's most memorable clowns is Festy, and even his name invokes this motif of festivity and the festival. And Festy, along with these other characters, Sir Andrew Aguecheek and Sir Toby Belch, they decide to trick Malvolio, who's whose name means ill will. And so we have these comic characters pitted against a character of ill will, and they decide to make a fool of him. And it's one of the sort of principal subplots of the play that ends up dominating a lot of the action. And it's one of the funnier parts is that we see these comic characters show the folly of ill will. It's a really delightful delightful point. There are a lot of jokes. It's a very funny play. They finally... I think these comic characters are also perhaps somewhat disordered in ways and are brought back to order in mm-hmm. a rightly ordered time at the end of the play as well. But they certainly serve the purpose of exposing the folly of anger and ill will.
This is one of Shakespeare's plays. There are others, as you like it, one of them, that yeah. center around a female lead dressing as a man to hide her identity or act in unwomanly ways. Does this say anything? Do we read anything here about Shakespeare's views regarding women?
Yeah, I think we do, and I think we see a lot, and I think it's very interesting. I'll just remind listeners that in the Renaissance stage, no women were allowed to act. So we have the doubly funny situation where we will have a male actor whose role is the woman in the play, then putting on a disguise to be a man.
Right.
Doubly confusing. But I certainly think Shakespeare shows us some of women's vulnerability and lack of power and the need to protect and defend themselves through adopting disguises. But I don't like to speak too much of them as passive, because one of the most remarkable things is in these comedies like As You Like It and Twelfth Night, we see Rosalind or Viola as remarkably
right.
Active and intelligent. They're resourceful and inventive. So the disguises become really effective ways for them to navigate the situation. And we see them do that with real ability and intelligence. And so it's a sort of I think there's a worry for women there, and also a mark of their remarkable resourcefulness.
Final question for Dr. Ben Whalen on Twelfth Night. Just reference this: disguises play a big role in Twelfth Night. Which characters spend time hiding themselves? How is it thematically important to play?
Yeah, this is not just thematically important for this play, but in fact, I think for all of Shakespeare's works, he continually returns to this question of the relationship between appearance and reality,
mm-hmm.
or to use maybe Hamlet's terms, the relationship between seeming and being. And the problem is that, as Shakespeare traces in a number of his plays, the problem is that acting roles or assuming disguises can affect one's character. And one's being. It turns out to be a problem when Hamlet wants to act like a crazy man all the time. does he actually become crazy?
Yes.
And so disguise, playing, acting is not simply a neutral or just a for fun thing. It's got sort of serious components and serious components of moral virtue and of a philosophical nature. And so I think we see that in Twelfth Night. Viola, having adopted this disguise in distress, nevertheless, at one point she says, "Disguise, I see thou art a wickedness, wherein the pregnant enemy does much." So she's even as she's using this, she's aware of its power mm-hmm. and the dangers attendant upon it. So I think it's important within this play that one act well and nobly and in accordance with virtue, a sort of self-love, a disguise as a change of one's appearance because of just a self-love ends up leading to Malvolio's folly rather than Viola's success.
Dr. Ben Whalen, Assistant Professor of English here at Hillsdale College, and we talk Twelfth Night from Shakespeare. Dr. Whalen, thanks for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks so much.
Up next, we talk with Lee Cole, Associate Professor of Philosophy at Hillsdale College, about being a student at Hillsdale College, then returning to teach. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in. It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Come on in to Black Bear Diner, where the portions are bear-sized and the service makes you feel at home. With breakfast served all day, anytime's right to dig into our one-of-a-kind sweet cream pancakes, Bear Benedicts, or generous sides of thick-cut bacon and tantalizing sausage patties, house-made from our signature recipe. Whenever you do breakfast, do it at Black Bear Diner, because around here, every plate comes with heaping helpings of happiness.
Have you been looking to purchase or refinance a home? Allow the team at Omega Mortgage Group to show you why so many of your friends and family, realtors and escrow officers, refer their clients to Omega Mortgage Group. Our low rates, simple application, fast escrows, and outstanding service really speak for themselves. Contact Omega Mortgage Group today at 223-1400 or visit us at omglending.com. Omega Mortgage Group is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID number 1253874.
The Reading Rancheria Head Start program is a comprehensive preschool learning environment where everyone is respected and included.
Rancheria is really good. You know, they do a lot of stuff with the community and for the families. And especially a Head Start like this, they give 150% towards the kids. It's a really awesome program.
The term is planting seeds. They get more education here. So this is a great, great Head Start.
What I really like about the Head Start is they're really into their culture. They work on their language, both Wintu and Pitt River.
The Reading Rancheria is giving people an opportunity to grow, helping build this community into a stronger place, and they're very proud of their heritage.
Coming together for the kids in education, it's powerful.
The Reading Rancheria Head Start program is free to those eligible. Learn more and enroll at readingrancheria.com.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally, the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
This is Carl on the Bot, and there is only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
Football is life. Get in the game. Catch your favorite team on any screen inside Elements. Score more on our stadium snack menu. Half off during the game. Nowhere else in town offers this. More football fun. Play hard. Win easy. 49er tickets up for grabs all season long. Some people talk football. We live it at Wind River Resort and Casino. Details at WindRiver.com.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We're joined by Dr. Lee Cole, Associate Professor of Philosophy at Hillsdale College and also a Hillsdale College graduate from the class of 2004. Dr. Cole, thanks for joining us.
You bet, Scott. Thanks for having me.
We want to talk a bit today about what it is like to have been a student at Hillsdale College and then return as a professor at Hillsdale College. When you entered Hillsdale, if you can remember back that far, did you know...
6 kids ago. That's quite a feat, actually.
Did you know that you were going to be studying philosophy and perhaps one day teaching philosophy, or did that come sometime down the road?
I certainly didn't enter with those expectations. I would be... I don't want to criticize any current students, but I would be a bit terrified about the sort of mind that would come to college as an 18-year-old with the express purpose of being a professor in philosophy. that would be too precocious. Now, I'm not sure I could have given you any sort of definition or description of what philosophy was. I was curious to find out what philosophy was, else I wouldn't have taken the philosophy class, which was not wholly required back in the spring of 2001, as it is now. So I kind of stumbled upon it thanks to the core. And sometimes I use that as an anecdote with students. Most of our students come to Hillsdale because they like how robust and serious the core is.
Right.
But if there's any resistance to the core, I usually tell students, you know, I would not have found my vocation had I not come to a place that forced me to take a philosophy class and perhaps come to a place that taught philosophy in the way that Hillsdale did. So I was a math and philosophy major at Hillsdale, and coming in, I didn't have ambitions quite in either of those directions. But my plan at the time, actually, was to go on after Hillsdale to enter into architecture school. And I think it's not accidental that I majored in those two disciplines and also took some art classes, given my interest in architecture. So that's something that I kind of gradually fell in love with. Math was kind of a fallback. I liked math. It was a way of appeasing my parents and also, you know, appeasing my own sort of conservative psychology about doing something useful. And philosophy was something that I just kind of grew to love gradually. So it was one of those things, you take one class and you enjoy it. So you're going to give it another shot, and you take another class, and then you enjoy it a bit more. So next semester you're going to take two classes. And I found most of those classes to be bewildering, which I have to remind my students of. If you understand a third of what's going on in the reading, you're actually doing quite well. And then it just got to a point when I was an upperclassman where I really, thanks to the model provided by my own professors, I really felt called to teach philosophy, with all due respect to math professors, of course, who do an important task.
How do you think your Hillsdale education helped to prepare you for your future studies and your graduate studies down the road?
So in a very basic material sense, Hillsdale was very challenging. And so actually, you know, surviving and thriving at Hillsdale put me in a good position to survive in graduate school. If I could tell an anecdote, I remember having a conversation with a fellow graduate student, I think near the end of our first year, and I won't name the student nor her alma mater, but she graduated from a rather prestigious liberal arts institution and also had a master's. And she confided in me at one point, we were in the writing center, and said, "This is just crazy. Like, this is just," and I was sort of looking at her somewhat confused, and she clarified that graduate school, or this doctoral program at Villanova was where I went to graduate school, was so difficult. And I tried to meet her halfway, but deep down I was thinking, well, no, this is a pretty natural continuation of what I was doing at Hillsdale. But in more seriously, I think the way that the classes were taught at Hillsdale, what was demanded by the professors in the classroom, in our writing, in our reading experience, was a really close and careful attention to the text, and also an attention to how these texts met up with fundamental human problems. And something that's really great about Hillsdale, and I think we've all experienced, those of us who are students, is that there's the classroom inside the classroom, the classroom itself, and then there's the classroom outside of the classroom. And so much of the learning that goes on at Hillsdale goes on amongst our peers, our colleagues, fellow pupils, and we're asking these difficult questions that, you know, 11:30 at night or in the cafeteria arguing about things. And so there was a real sense of having to take ownership of what you were reading and also what you believed yourself.
How do you then begin to entertain the possibility of returning to Hillsdale to teach.
Right. So here's how that goes. I wouldn't be the first Hillsdale student to graduate, go to graduate school and think, you know what? What would be ideal would be to come back to a school just like Hillsdale.
Yeah.
After all, that's kind of the reason why I'm going on to graduate school. It's the font of inspiration, as it were. When you go to graduate school, one, you're sort of open to new ideas because Hillsdale can only do so many things. And it's also the case that you come sort of face-to-face with a reality that you know is true, and that's the kind of the grim state of the job market and how unbelievably competitive it is to get a job. And I think partly that in the back of your mind encourages you to think broadly about where you'd be willing to teach.
Sure.
And there are certain perks of being at Villanova as a kind of Catholic intellectual that I came to enjoy. And so I think, you know, by my fourth year in graduate school, I would have thought it sort of laughably romantic to think that I would end up back at Hillsdale. Not that I wouldn't accept such an offer, but then I was sort of thinking about what sort of schools I would teach at and what sort of schools had more than three positions in the philosophy department. And so the percentages might go up for getting into a school like that.
Yeah.
And then I got an email out of the blue. There are three different members of my department going on sabbatical in the 2011-2012 year, and they needed someone to come in. And then I had to make the hard decision. It was difficult simply because I was still on the front end of my dissertation at the time, so it was going to be a sacrifice. In another sense, it was not a difficult decision to want to come back to my alma mater and actually follow one of my best friends in doing so. And then I discovered later that Dr. Lindley, who I was at least acquainted with at the time, also got hired. So that was quite an experience to have this sort of homecoming with the three of us. And it proved to be really important to have friends upon arrival, because the first year of teaching is just, oh gosh, it's a bloodbath. it's like, for the Hillsdale students out there, it's like your hell week or finals week, except
all year long. Dr. Lee Cole with us, associate professor of philosophy at Hillsdale College. So things have gotten a little easier since then, I imagine. What in your mind makes a good college professor?
I think being a good teacher has many points of similarity to being a good student. One of the things that's important to being a good student is being attentive and sensitive to what it is that you're reading or what it is that you're listening to. And I think those are virtues that, intellectual virtues that Hillsdale professors encourage in their students. This also involves a kind of humility with respect to the great minds of the past. I think in our day and age, we think we can have quick and easy results. We think that things can be packaged for us thanks to technology. We can just kind of get at the essences of things quite quickly due to certain historical outworkings and improvements in medium and so on and so forth. And so I think it's important to recognize the difficulty of actually coming to understand reality in a profound way, and how that's a lifetime of work, and then even then you only scratch at the surface. And when you recognize that, what you do is you realize that the greatest works in the tradition are great precisely because they have a kind of inexhaustibility that is not simply due to the greatness of the mind of the author, but has something to do with the inexhaustibility of reality that they're aiming to describe.
Dr. Lee Cole, associate professor of philosophy here at Hillsdale College, also a Hillsdale grad in the class of 2004. Dr. Cole, thanks for joining us on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Todd Mack from the Spanish department here at Hillsdale, talking about the Spain-Catalonia protests. Writer Michael Walsh here on campus looking at the Trump trauma, as he calls it, and President Trump's chance at re-election. Ben Whalen from Hillsdale's English department on 12th night, and Dr. Lee Cole, we just heard from, talking about being a student here, Ben coming back to teach. Remember, you can hear new episodes of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour podcast. Find it at SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify. Just search for the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. You can follow the show on Twitter at Hillsdale Radio or on Facebook at the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. To find out more about Hillsdale College,
head to hillsdale.edu. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday,
Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
I've set up what is known as complete count committees. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
From the Fox News radio studios in New York City, giving you opinions and facts with a positive approach, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. Brian Kilmeade, thanks so much for listening. It's going to be a fast-moving show. We do not have the hearings to interrupt us, but we do have, Fox and Friends just interviewed the president for almost an hour. So Chris Wallace in 15 minutes. Amity Schles, one of America's finest historians, going to be with us. I always like to do something a little bit different. She has a book out called Great Society, A New History. She puts in perspective really what happened after the New Deal. But I do want to talk about this deal, and that's the President of the United States. Coming off impeachment, he wants a trial. He made it pretty clear. He wants a trial. He doesn't think it's – he actually is not even sure the impeachment's going to get there. He doesn't believe the case has been made. He really believes his call was still perfect. These are some of the things that came out of that conversation. I'll just recap as well. When it comes to China, he's not ready to do a deal yet. He thinks it could be soon. He believes that they need the deal much more than us. He will not commit to not vetoing the legislation coming out of the Senate, but I don't believe that he would veto it. That said, you better keep your hands off those Hong Kong students. So the president, actually, by the end of it, he was in a pretty good mood. And the last couple of times, remember when he joined our show, he was not too happy. So the president of the United States, a little bit earlier, I'm going to also take a look at some of the, what happened during the week with his testimony. Yesterday, we couldn't really bring a lot back with Fiona Hill, not a lot back with David Holmes. He does not think much of David Holmes' supersonic hearing. In fact, this is one thing that he brought up about Holmes overhearing a conversation with Sunderland. The president doubled and tripled down saying, I don't really know Volcker. I don't really know Sunderland. I didn't really know anybody when I got this job. So let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's big three.
Number three.
If there was an FBI agent sworn to uphold the Constitution
who can be proven to have altered a document in connection with a legal proceeding, including the obtaining of a FISA warrant, that's really serious. It doesn't get a lot more serious than that.
Preet Bharara, IG Horowitz, it's game time. His report comes out December 9th, the hearing on the 11th. It already looks to be a showstopper. There's evidence the FBI altered a FISA application. The FBI employee who did it right under this guy named Peter Strzok, a fact the Washington Post left out.
Number two.
We as the American people, and the American people in just 4 days of Adam Schiff, maybe 30 hours, have radically turned against the impeachment inquiries. He started out with a bang, and he's now ending with a whimper.
And there you go. Impeachment phase one done. Well, it seems like although a switch from Schiff to Nadler at Judiciary could be on deck, and then the Senate, while the GOP and the president feel better today, as he just told us, than they did when this all began in September.
Number one.
Well, I don't know if Joe can make it mentally. He's off. There's no question about it. So I don't know if he's going to make it mentally.
President of the United States, I just spoke to him along with Stephen Ainslie for the past hour. I'll bring you the highlights and my insights from the interview as well as 2020. Plus, I'll bring you the latest from the left. Here's a teaser. Michael Moore now considers himself in the middle. You mean the left wing of the left wing says, I am now mainstream Democrat. That's what the president has going for him more than anything else. So we're going to cut some of the interview with the president of the United States as towards the end of the interview. He sounded like he was having a good time again. In the beginning of the interview, he sounded a little aggravated. And why not? This impeachment thing, whether you're 100% innocent or guilty, it is stressful. Yesterday, I thought Fiona Hill made a lot of sense in respect. We know that at first her problem with her credibility is she recommended when she was in place, I don't think we should give lethal aid. It'll aggravate the Russians to the Ukrainians. Now she's totally flipped on that, and she was upset the aid was being held up. But she also put in perspective what the Russians want, and that's us tearing each other apart. And there was a plan in place, no matter who won the presidency, to make it look like an illegitimate win. And we are playing to their song. And never stopped. Listen to her yesterday. Cut three.
This is exactly what the Russian government was hoping for. If they seed misinformation, they seed doubt. They have everybody questioning the legitimacy of a presidential candidate, be it President Trump or potentially a President Clinton, that they would pit one side of our electorate against the other, that they would pit one party against the other. And that's why I wanted to make such a strong point at the very beginning.
And she did. And she was wrong about this. Republicans weren't saying the Russians didn't meddle the election. And they had to push back on that right away because Adam Schiff kept saying it. And that's where it was. The president did not back off on what he believes. And that is that his call was perfect.
So my conversation was a perfect conversation. The Ukrainian president said, what are they talking about? They must think we're nuts in this country. And this conversation was flawless. It was appropriate. It was perfect. It was nice. It was everything. And they even said that. They came out and said it. Now, compare that, and they try and impeach. And by the way, they've looked like fools over the last 5 days. These interviews have been, and these were their witnesses. This was the best they've got. Now, Adam Schiff is a sick puppy.
That president of the United States. So he's still firing away. Listen, we're going to take a timeout and come back with a guy named Chris Wallace.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising. Sponsored by Case Legal Media. Attention. This is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation. Call us now at 800-540-3219. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-540-3219. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-540-3219. Again, 800-540-3219.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, Protect My Car is announcing a low-cost extended service plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay nothing for auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay nothing for auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-807-8216 now. Drivers who are covered by Protect My Car will not have to pay for a covered repair bill again. This auto coverage is at an all-time low, much lower than what dealerships are charging. Additionally, drivers who activate this auto coverage today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and free car rental at no additional cost. Call Protect My Car for your free quick quote today. 800-807-8216. 800-807-8216. What do you have to lose? Again, 800-807-8216.
This is Fox on Justice. A Supreme Court showdown is in the works over President Trump's taxes. At issue is an investigation by a New York prosecutor into allegations that when he was running for office in 2016, Donald Trump made payments to two women who allegedly had affairs with him. Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance wants to see the president's tax returns to determine whether those payments should be considered illegal campaign contributions. The president has repeatedly said he would release his returns, but not now.
But I have no obligation to do that while I'm under audit.
The president's lawyers argue that he has immunity from virtually any prosecution, but a federal appeals court rejected that claim, so this sets up the potential Supreme Court battle. If the court decides to take up the case, as most legal experts expect, there could be pressure on Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg to recuse because she made comments in 2016 critical of candidate Trump for not releasing his returns. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1982.
The death of John Belushi.
Our paramedics responded to a home in the Hollywood Hills. After a short time, had to pronounce the victim dead.
I came because I believe that the nuclear arms race has got to end for the sake of the world.
To be a part of the group of people that are supportive of what we are about, namely stopping the nuclear arms race.
Count number one, not guilty by reason of insanity. A look of wonder came to the faces of John Hinckley's parents. That's the count charging him with attempting to kill the President of the United States.
At the conclusion of tonight's game between the Giants and the Packers, all NFL training facilities will be struck.
I'm just very happy the patient is doing as well as he's doing right now.
It's very obvious that these caps were tampered with. It was not an accidental thing. It was not a product defect. It was willful and wanton.
News as it happens then. News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Elizabeth Banks, writer and director of the new Charlie's Angels movie. Banks also co-stars in the film as Bosley. She says she did grow up as a fan of the franchise.
So I'm a huge Charlie's Angels fan. I remember growing up, I watched the 70s show with my two sisters, so there were three of us, so we were like the angels. I was obsessed with Kate Jackson. But mostly I was in love with the idea of watching these professional women at their job, and their job was so cool, you know? It wasn't Mary Tyler Moore in, like, the same office every day with the same people every day. It was, like, new every day.
And she shares why she feels this is a good time to bring back the angels.
This whole movie is about sort of really modern women, like women who unapologetically love their job. And this movie is not about the boyfriend that they don't see enough, the dog they're not feeding, you know, the mom they're not calling. This is really just about women who really are so grateful that they get to do something that they love.
Ashley DeBorkin, Fox News.
Mouth to your ears. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Well, it certainly doesn't. They were spying on my campaign, and it went right up to the top, and everybody knows it, and now we're going to find out. You have Bull Durham, who's supposed to be the toughest. I've never met him, never spoke to him, but he's supposed to be the smartest and the best, and he works for Bill Barr, who's a great attorney general. We would maybe have ended this thing a lot sooner had he been there originally. But you have some people that are great people now and patriotic people. They love our country. And this was spying on my campaign, something that has never been done in the history of our country. This was an overthrow attempt at the presidency. They tried to overthrow the presidency.
And that was the president a half hour ago on Fox and Friends. We had him on for 45 minutes. It was actually probably an hour. So it was pretty interesting. We covered a lot, but the president also makes sure that he gets it out. You watch him every day. It's a lot of the same, but we got his first information, his first take on the impeachment hearing as it was taking place. And he joined us yesterday because it pretty much wrapped up, at least the first phase, unless somebody else comes forward. Remember, that State Department, David Holmes, he's the one who came forward, flew back, and met behind closed doors over the weekend when he found out that he overheard a conversation that could help shed some light, in his words, on the proceedings. So I asked Donald Trump a couple of things. I did ask him a couple of times about Rudy Giuliani, and does he regret essentially losing Rudy Giuliani? The way he did, and he did not shy away from that at all. Do you want to listen to some of that? Yeah,
Rudy,
let's listen.
Is a great crime fighter. Rudy is the best mayor in the history of New York City. Rudy Giuliani is a very legendary figure in our country. Rudy was the U.S. attorney. He also worked at the Justice Department. Believe me, this kind of crap wouldn't have happened in the Justice Department if Rudy Giuliani was the attorney general, just like I believe Bill Barr will straighten it out and straighten it out for good. But Rudy Giuliani was one of the great crime fighters of all time. He's also a friend of mine. He's a great person. He's like an iconic figure in this country for two reasons. He was the greatest mayor in the history of New York, and he was the greatest crime fighter probably in the last 50 years. When you're dealing with a corrupt country, if Rudy Giuliani, he's got credentials because of his reputation. When Rudy Giuliani goes there and you hear it's a corrupt country, I mean, it means a lot.
Yeah, it seems to get in everybody's way. And leading up to this, I played the Gordon Sondland cut where Gordon Sondland said nobody wants to work with Rudy. Cut 18.
Secretary Perry, Ambassador Volker, and I worked with Mr. Rudy Giuliani on Ukraine matters at the express direction of the President of the United States. We did not want to work with Mr. Giuliani. Simply put, we were playing the hand we were dealt.
So the president let us know that I don't really know him. So I don't really know Volker. I didn't really know anyone when I came to Washington. Joining us now, a guy I know. He's a guy who, if he's short of money and it could happen, I would lend him money. He is Chris Wallace.
And now, the Brian Kilmeade Show presents The Evolution of Chris Wallace on Brian's Books.
I'm not entirely happy at looking at the New York Times bestseller list, and there's your damn book on the list.
Well, Chris, he did it again. Currently number two on the New York Times bestsellers list.
Oh, you want to be number one on the hardcover New York Times
list? I do.
Well, okay, but number two is still pretty good.
Have you ever been number one?
One time, 2 weeks on paperback with Jefferson.
Well, that doesn't really count. Paperback? Come on.
Hey, paperback counts.
I've got to think you're ticked off at Don Jr., because if his book hadn't come out, you would have been number one.
Thank you. Finally, some recognition.
That's something you take to the grave. New York Times bestseller, and now you've done it with two different books.
Actually, Chris, this makes five.
I'm not especially pleased about that.
The master of manuscripts. The captain of codices.
I'm number one. Will I become the power player?
No, you've been the power player. I did that with you already.
And the power player pilferer, Chris Wallace.
That was awesome. Hey, Chris.
Well, yes, you came off great. Once again, I get hammered. Could I have somebody? You know, the problem is I don't have a budget. I'm not clever enough. I couldn't do it. So go ahead. Just mock me in the open. That's
you don't you don't have a budget.
I don't. I listen, the budget that it took to produce that opening is greater than the budget for Fox News Sunday for a year.
Yeah, because for Eric to edit this, he needs a suite to stay in. He needs contemplative rooms. He needs a massage. This is a huge budget. And if he gets receipts,
huge,
he gets
huge. And so, look, I do hits, as you know, on Friday mornings with local stations. So I'm in the TV studio,
yeah,
and I see the monitor that you guys are on.
For an hour.
But I can't hear you. And it started at 8 o'clock, and I finished at 8:50. How long did you talk to the president?
An hour.
A full hour. From 8 to 9, he was on the phone with you.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a lot to say.
Did my name come up? Because, you know, it came up in a tweet last weekend.
Yeah, so tell me, what is that like when he came after you like that?
What
he
are you talking not... about? He tweeted you.
Yeah, he went after me. But I don't know what it's like being Chris Wallace. And he came after you.
Know,
it doesn't really bother... That stuff doesn't really bother you, I don't think, being totally candid.
Well, to be totally candid, on the one hand, I think to myself, look, if I thought I'd done something wrong,
yeah,
if I thought I'd been unfair, I'd be very upset about it, but I think I was very fair to Steve Scalise. Incidentally, his office was fine with the interview that I had done, and I would just say to anybody out there, if you just, nobody's going to do it, just go online and look at the interview I did with Democrat Jim Himes after and say honestly, was I any easier on the Democrat than I was on the Republican? Having said that, I guess I'm old-fashioned enough on some level that, you know, I don't, do you, it does get to you when the President of the United States, whoever it is, sits there and attacks you.
Yeah, well, when he does, I don't really mind it because, number one, he knows I'm not doing it for a lack of respect. We just got to be honest. And the thing is, you have great, fair interviews. You prepare for them. You have a plan. You execute the plan. And if they have the answers, they come off looking great. If they don't, it's not your fault.
Well, so you basically take my side,
yes,
against President Trump.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
I watched it. It was great.
Mark this. Allison, mark this.
Yeah.
So I'm right, and Donald Trump is wrong, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Listen, I watched the interview. You were great, and you are fair.
Wow.
And no one, you know, they didn't like you when you would take it. You know, you were the only one asking tough questions on the Obama administration for 8 years, and people forget about that.
So could we maybe have an open next week that reflects this conversation? I doubt it.
But. Eric, do you think, well, it turns out we used all the money for the budget. That's it for the new year. So
yeah,
we're just going to run
incidentally,
that stuff.
Next week, I won't be on because it'll be Thanksgiving anyway. But you know, your respect, your allegiance, your solidarity, which is probably the better
absolutely.
Word.
Oh, absolutely. You're great. And listen, we remember this.
Well, thank you.
All you have to do is read Richard Clark's book to look at what we did in a comprehensive, systematic way to try to protect the country against terror. And you got that little smirk on your face. You think you're so clever. But I had responsibility for trying to protect this country.
Okay, where are the Republican critics there?
Yeah, well, and I would say to people, if you haven't done it, I tick off Republicans and Democrats. I guess I'm just sort of an unpleasant sort. So go to Facebook, do Chris Wallace, or no, to you two, Chris Wallace and Bill Clinton. 10 million people have watched this, me taking on Bill Clinton. So, you know, I'm an equal opportunity.
Chris, where
I'm
are
equal
we...
opportunity pain in the behind.
Right. Again, that's why the show is a must-watch every Sunday. So we got
then
4 minutes.
Why are you being so nice to me? Am I, like, gone?
No. This is the way I am. This is the way I live my life. I'm pretty nice. What happened? You have a different impression of me?
Well, based on the 10 years or so that we've been doing this show together.
Yes. So, Chris, I'm up against a hard break. Normally, we have you in a different portion of the show. But what's your takeaway after week two, 3 intense days? I really saw a frustrated Adam Schiff just basically slam the gavel and get out of there. What did you think? Where are we going with this?
I don't agree with you that I thought he was frustrated. I think he feels he's made his case, that he's proved the president did something wrong and that it's impeachable. Republicans, to a man and woman on that committee, feel very equally strongly that he either, one, hasn't made his case, or if he proved the president did something, it doesn't rise to an impeachable level. And there is no sign at all that this is going to be anything other than a party line vote. I think right now it looks like it is going to go to the House floor. They will vote articles of impeachment. It'll just be Democrats who vote for it, and all the Republicans will vote against it. And then we go to a Senate trial. I proposed yesterday that we should do a plea bargain. And the plea bargain should be that everybody, they should censure the president, the House and the Senate, censure the president bipartisan, because I don't think sitting there asking Zelensky for an investigation of Biden was a good thing to do. Stop the impeachment, stop the trial, and let's move on with the country. What would you think of that?
I would love it. I would love, but I can't get my life back. 2.5 weeks of watching this. I mean,
You were off. I'm sitting there in a studio.
Oh, I know. You're right.
But I still listen. 4 every day.
I did it for free. You got paid. You've been paid every hour.
Sometimes it isn't. You know what? I deserve more pay.
Right.
I mean, it was. There were times when it was very interesting. I mean, there were some characters. Fiona Hill. I got to say, I liked her. And I have a perfect woman, and I want everybody to Google her. Gina McKee. She was the woman in the wheelchair in Notting Hill. Do you remember that? His best friend in Notting Hill, Hugh Grant. She would be a perfect Fiona Hill.
Okay. Good point. I never saw the movie. So
George,
Fiona Hill.
Wait a minute. You never saw Notting Hill?
Never saw it.
Have you seen The Irishman yet?
Have I seen
what? 3.5-hour Martin Scorsese movie about the mob?
I've seen The Godfather, sure.
No. I said, have you seen The Irishman? You're not
Not yet. Everybody keeps giving me cues when you talk.
It's great. I advise people to see it, and you know they say 3.5 hours.
Right.
I thought it was too short. I wish it had gone on for another hour. Yeah, I loved it.
Right. Robert De Niro, to me, I have a hard time watching him. This guy has lost his mind. He can't stop cursing at award shows. What's he doing?
I fully understand that view. He is a great actor. That's
right.
All I'm going to say.
Exactly.
He's a great actor, and the guy who really just puts a jolt of electricity into this movie is Al Pacino.
He is Chris Wallace. Back in a moment.
Movie critic. Thumbs up.
Back in a moment. Heartbreak. Chris doesn't get the signal. Still doesn't get it. Heartbreak. Gotta go. 3, 2, 1.
You got that little smirk on your face.
Hey, guys. I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. Boy, was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Get your car squeaky clean at Quick and Clean Car Wash in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash on the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros is open 7 days a week. Fast and convenient, you don't even have to get out of your vehicle. And they even towel dry your vehicle. They accept cash or card with no extra charge. Quick and Clean Car Wash located at 1210 Market Street, downtown Reading. 530-243-4211.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutoBody.com.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Democratic nominee and 42nd President of the United States, Bill Clinton, addressed the Democratic Convention in 1992 at Madison Square Garden in New York City.
Let it be our cause that we give this child a country that is coming together, not coming apart. A country of boundless hopes and endless dreams. A country that once again lifts its people and inspires the world. Let that be our cause, our commitment, and our new covenant. My fellow Americans, I end tonight where it all began for me. I still believe in a place called hope. God bless you, and God bless America.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A boy that helps give out bikes for Christmas makes today's Dean's List. Although 9-year-old Joey Johnson has a rare genetic condition that causes him to use a wheelchair, it doesn't stop him from helping others. Kelly, Joey's mom, says she is so proud of her son for buying bikes for children at Christmas. Kelly explains that her son Joey was inspired by a conversation they had last year about the ways people live differently in other countries. Kelly and Joey participated in a Christian-led international humanitarian organization called World Vision, which provides services in health and nutrition, education, and disaster management, among other areas, to people in underdeveloped countries. Kelly says that instead of choosing a toy to get for Christmas, every year Joey opens a World Vision catalog and an activity focused on what impassions him and how to give to people in need. Thank you, Joey Johnson, for spreading love to others this Christmas. You made the Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
A talk show that's real. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
I have proposed a 2-cent wealth tax. So when you make it big, when you make it really big, when you make it top 0.1% big, pitch in 2 cents so everybody else gets a chance to make it.
Now the wealth tax, I'm sorry, it's cumbersome. It's been tried by other nations.
I'm tired of freeloading billionaires.
Everybody's tired of corporations getting away with paying zero taxes. Not disagreeing with that.
Senator Warren, Senator Booker going at it when it comes to the wealth tax on a very left-wing debate that took place on Wednesday night. Joining me now in studio is one of America's great thinkers and historians and writers, Amity Slays. She's got a brand new book out called Great Society, A New History, that plays right to what we're dealing with right now. Looks back in order to understand what we're going through now. You also looked at the New Deal in a way I've never saw in The Forgotten Man. Amity, welcome back.
Thank you.
First off, why is this book important for people to read now?
Because now our younger people and our candidates are mooting socialist ideas or social democratic ideas. And we actually had an experiment with this. And what we learned in the 1960s, which is that even social democracy, which sounds friendly, is way too far for our economy and our future jobs.
So you said this, if you said, Brian, pick this up from FDR to LBJ. What does LBJ try to do from FDR?
LBJ is FDR's child. He worked for FDR, and in this we have a beautiful photo of the two men together. So LBJ said to himself, I'll continue the New Deal in something I'll call the Great Society, very ambitious. And because I am a legislative master, the master of the Senate, I will pass more laws than anyone else. And he did. It was said LBJ passed laws like other people ate chocolate chip cookies.
Wow. And what was the result?
The result was a terrible morning after, which is the 70s. We scarcely remember that, but our parents remember it because they had two fewer bedrooms in their house and one less job than they had hoped due to the high inflation, high interest rates, and joblessness of the overspending of the 1960s.
So we know after the Civil War, everybody's free, but not everybody was accepting it. And we had to go through a period of racial equality and reconstruction that was anything but smooth. So here we are looking over with a new deal economically, but we also want to make our society equal. Where did LBJ go wrong in doing that, even though it's an aspiration you can understand?
We all understand the aspiration, and we do want everyone to have equal opportunity. You can pinpoint the moment LBJ went wrong to a speech at Howard University in not his first year. I think it's 1965. Anyway, the Howard U. commencement speech, LBJ said, "I'm not going after merely equality of opportunity. I'm going after equality of result. That is affirmative action and so on." And I, the black community, as I show in the book, was a little surprised he would go this far. Martin Luther King is a sympathetic character in my book, as are some other lesser known black leaders. So for some reason, maybe political vanity and to prevent riots, LBJ went way, way left and gave us the whole modern
affirmative action.
Affirmative action and identity politics.
But you drill down on the word results. You want to give people an opportunity, but what is wrong with guarantee results?
Guarantee results means you take power away from someone to give to someone else. That's the problem. It ends up being a redistribution of what's available.
How it played out that was so negative.
It's always negative when someone in a group is hired for belonging to that group. When others are not, they become the forgotten men, because if you're not promoted, and there are many legal cases, even though you did well on the test, that demoralizes an entire workforce. I mean, we've seen cases, for example, with fire departments where that happened. It demoralizes the whole room when people are entitled to something because of their identity rather than because of their work. It also demoralizes minorities because they are capable of and often demonstrate equally good work.
And Amity, even you're looking back in order to understand what we're going through right now.
Yeah.
What are we going through right now, and what do you worry about, being that you studied and put together this book, Great Society?
The motto of the book is nothing is new. It is just forgotten. And what we have in common with the early 60s is a real sense of prosperity. Our children think we can afford anything. Look, stock market always goes up. That's our birthright, right? And so why can't we redistribute? That's what they thought in the early 60s. And so, therefore, young people are very ambitious. Maybe they lack the experience older people had with the Berlin Wall and the rough, bitter exposure to communism. So it's idealism without education. And, Brian, I'm concerned that we have failed to educate young people. This is on us. This is a failure. We got too involved in day-to-day news and didn't do the education. So these young people don't even know the American history.
They show up for Bernie Sanders rallies like he's some type of rock star.
Well, it's kind of nice to have an idealistic person, and Bernie is mostly idealistic. That's
without
exciting.
Any accomplishments.
But, right, so where is their exposure to the evidence? And this is also a result of the Great Society, too, because it said, you know, the left didn't win a revolution in the United States. What it did get was control of our universities through its so-called long march up from associate professor to full professor to super tenured professor. So what our kids get at university from their authorities is far to the left of what kids got at university in the 1960s when they had professors who were born, you know.
Meanwhile, the 60s were anything but smooth,
right,
with the protests and the war and the civil unrest and the assassinations.
And what I show in the book is there were a lot of forgotten men in the 60s, too. That Great Society, some were minorities, some were poor. That is, those who didn't happen to get favored by the Great Society programs. Some of the heroes in this book are mayors who were dissed by the very arrogant Great Society, which basically funded political action against mayors.
Amity Slase is here. She wrote Great Society. The book is now out. It's called The New History. So, Amity, I'm just struck that billionaires are pushing back. Because for the longest time, if you're rich, you just keep your powder dry when people start criticizing you. But I noticed that Mark Cuban has spoken up and said, by the way, the person who's criticizing me, Elizabeth Warren, worth $16 million. And then Jamie Dimon on 60 Minutes is a little upset that Warren's calling him out. Listen to him.
So Elizabeth Warren said in Iowa the other day, our democracy has been hijacked by the rich and powerful. And you jumped in and said this week about her that she was vilifying successful people and having harsh words for Wall Street bankers.
What I was commenting on is that anything that vilifies people, I just don't like. I think that, you know, most people are good, not all of them. I think you should vilify Nazis, but you shouldn't vilify people who worked hard to accomplish things. And so my comment is, I think it's American society. We're just attacking each other all the time.
So he was pushing back a little bit. And is it natural to resent rich people?
No, it isn't.
Not for me.
You have to be taught, as in the Prejudice song, right? You have to be taught to hate, including rich people. And what's interesting here, why are billionaires responding? Because, for one thing, a wealth tax technically is not a federal event for us in the United States. We sort of have a wealth tax in our property tax in our house, right? The value, but a wealth tax is pernicious because it eats at the essence of who you are. So a teeny weeny wealth tax, which is being proposed now, is mostly dangerous because it fosters anti-wealth sentiment and it permits a wider wealth tax.
How would you define the Great Society? The Great Society?
An ambitious effort that failed. There was a question. Great Society. We all want to be great. Very ambitious period. Very idealistic. Can we do it through the public sector or the private sector? We chose the public sector. And to redistribute, we weren't happy with the result. And one of the characters in this book is Reagan, as he grows up, looking up and thinking, wait, this isn't wrong, because you remember he started
out
as a new dealer, right? So another character is Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who's so much admired. He was sort of the court jester and wise man at the same time, both clown and intelligence. Another character is Sergeant Shriver, the best-intentioned Boy Scout in the world, who was totally wrong and hurt cities. So there are people we know. Romney's father is in here, too.
You have these things called moderates. Shriver was like a moderate Democrat, right? I mean, Romney was somewhat moderate compared to what we have now.
Well, Romney is a story of frustration. There's a reason Mitt said when he ran that we should abolish HUD. Do you remember that? Mitt said that. Mitt Romney, that's because his dad worked at HUD. His dad was secretary. At HUD, and it was an incredible purgatory for Dad Romney.
Right. So listen, Amity, congratulations on this book. It is called Great Society, A New History. We have to learn it because we're going through it. And soon, if a Democrat wins next year, they're going to be proposing a lot of these things, and they don't work.
You can make a list of five of them. Yep.
Absolutely. So pick up A Great Society. When we come back, we are going to have a special guest. You're going to... we're going to do a look at Sam Houston, the Alamo Avengers. We're going to talk to Stephen Moore.
Don't go anywhere. Brian Kilmeade will be right back.
My name is Preston James. I've been a stock and options trader for 23 years. I used to be an active swing trader, but that all changed once I discovered my MoneyPress weekly paycheck method. These days, I'm a passive trader, hauling in more cash while being able to sleep at night than I ever dreamed possible. I'm passionate about the market, and I like to keep it simple. My methods are changing thousands of lives, and I'm confident it can change yours. But let the proof do the talking by going to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com. You'll see a 7-minute video revealing how my MoneyPress method grew a $54,000 account to $174,000 in less than 9 months. That works out to 5.8% per week. You'll see the proof right inside my Real Brokerage account. This isn't about overnight riches, but once you discover this for yourself, you can start on this same path overnight. You're 7 minutes away from changing everything you thought you knew about trading and investing. Go to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio. News.
He'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Outnumbered, this town, a bunch of ragtag, tough cowboys hold their own and win.
Absolutely. I mean, and so the thing is, Santa Ana was full of puffery after the Alamo. I mean, he felt like a peacock who just put another feather in his back. And he misread the victory. He just realized, the truth is the 200 Americans in the Alamo and others that were with the Americans, they may have gotten slaughtered, but they killed more Mexicans than Americans. And Davy Crockett was a very serious person for Santa Ana to kill. He had become a folk legend. Some people think he was the original American Western hero. And the fact that Crockett was willing to risk his life for Texas independence kind of it ricocheted all over the United States, and money and arms started coming into Texas, and people up east in the United States started pulling for Texas independence.
Hi, welcome back, everyone. Brian Kilmeade. That was Douglas Brinkley. And a little bit from the special we did, Sam Houston, the Alamo Avengers. I actually named it Texas Fight for Freedom. It was on Sunday. You guys watched. Ratings were great at 10 and 1 o'clock Eastern time. The book we just found out is number 2 in the country, trailing only Don Jr.'s book, which is fantastic. Thanks so much for getting it. Thanks so much for caring so much about history. For those who do not know, for the last 2 years, been working on this book about Sam Houston. I really got tipped off in researching Andrew Jackson. When you read Andrew Jackson, he talks about Sam Houston's all over his story, and he kind of mentored Sam Houston, saw a lot of himself in him. And when Sam Houston finally emerges from the shadow, it is in Texas, and it is to lead an army. And that army is being led by a bunch of people. They have almost no experience, but just a lot of grit and a fight for freedom against Santa Ana's standing Mexican army. If you think about Texas in 1835-36, there's Americans outnumber all others 10 to 1, and it was basically empty in the in 1800, and by 1836 it's mostly all Americans, and they did it in an orderly way. It started with Moses Austin, father of Stephen F. Austin, cutting a deal, him dying, Stephen F. Austin doing it, bringing 300 families in, and it just grew because of the opportunity. And then when they started taking liberty away and freedom of expression, that's when they stood up and they fought. And that's what we have been talking about on the road last the other night. I was in Pennsylvania. This week I've been in Connecticut. Most importantly, I'm going to be in St. Louis tonight. And I'll be in St. Louis tonight. Now, listen, the library is sold out, and I understand that. That's great, the St. Charles City County Library. But if you go there at the end of the night after my presentation, they're going to let everybody in so I can get tickets. So you can go and get your book signed. So that'll be great. And then on Saturday, we're going to fly out in the morning, go right to the Villages at Barnes & Noble at 1:30, and I hope to see everybody there. That's always fun. When I'm done there, I'm going to drive right over to Orlando. Allison's coming to the Writer's Block bookstore. That is new. That is the 23rd at 7 o'clock. I'll stay there as long as you want. And the next morning, we're going to drive about 2 hours to Jacksonville that night. And in Jacksonville, I'll be up early, 9:30 to about 11, and I'll be at the Southern Swells. That's at 1312 Beach Boulevard in beautiful Jackson Beach, Florida. So I'll be over there signing books. It's going to be fun. So I hope to see everybody out there. Meanwhile, we hope to keep everything going next week. We've been talking a lot about the impeachment this week. Real quick, I do want to get you to a part of the Alamo story, and we have so many Texas listeners. You listen all different ways. They talk about the Alamo. People get there, and they say it's so small. Well, in fact, it's big, but they just allowed it to get condensed and allowed buildings and progress to build around it. They're fixing that. They're pushing all those hotels and offices back. I talked to George P. Bush, the land commissioner, about the son of Jeb Bush, about what they're doing in San Antonio.
George, when you became land commissioner, did you have any idea the passion for the Alamo to the people of Texas and the need to, and the thirst to restore it?
I did, and the reason is that it's really at the centerpiece of what being a Texan is all about. This was a bloody war, bloody battle within a bloody war that was fought for the simple idea of freedom and liberty against a tyrannical government. And so when you look at the children, the grandchildren, when I meet constituents that have been here for many generations, including six generations since the battle, they tell me the same thing, that we've got to do a better job to restore and preserve it and make sure it's around for another 300 years.
In a time in which we seem to be running from our history, the people of Texas are saying, save our history.
That's absolutely right. You know, the Alamo was falling apart when I showed up to office in 2015, and archaeological study basically stated that if the state did not intervene, that it would fall apart. So I asked for an immediate appropriation from the state legislature to get that done, and we were successful in doing that. We have a lot of work ahead of us in terms of maintaining the original church and Long Barrack, which you'll see on the grounds to this day, but also restoring a sense of deference and reverence to the original revolutionaries, not to mention building a museum and visitor center for the millions of visitors that come every year.
And it is. And I cannot believe every time I've been there how crowded it is, how many millions continue to go, and how hot it also is. People go and they go to the church and they think they're at the Alamo. But in reality, it's just a small portion.
That's absolutely correct. So two of the original eight buildings are what remain from the original compound. In addition, modern development has incurred upon the original footprint. Not to mention, you have 18-wheelers and commercial traffic that travels over where that original battle took place. And so whether you're a Texan or an American that cares about your country, you know that you have to do a better job to create a sense of deference, a little bit of solace, similar to what we see at Independence Hall, similar to what we see at Gettysburg and other famous battlefields in our great country, that we've got to do a better job.
So you come in 2015, and you say, okay, here's this design, and let's just go do it. And then what happens?
So we were able to get funding. Funding is important. Nothing is for free. And the state of Texas stepped in along with the city of San Antonio. The city actually owns quite a bit of real estate in the plaza where the original footprint is. And we've structured a great relationship, a partnership with the city. And now we've structured a board composed of San Antonians to go out and raise private money. Right. We didn't want public taxpayers to fund the entirety of this. And we're now in the process of selecting a museum designer that will design an idea that will showcase the Phil Collins exhibit and other primary sources such as what we're about to show you that will allow for future scholars and students to better understand what happened at the battle.
So that's George P. Bush, man. I get the sense that he is ready to make a move politically. I think he's taking his time. He's got the military background. He knew his dad was out there running for president. I get the sense George P. Bush is that new Texas Republican. Look out for him. And special thanks to him for giving me his time. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show. Keep it here.
Hey,
paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention! If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications such as chronic pain, infection, wound reopening, mesh migration, bowel obstruction, need revision surgery, or other complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Hernia repair surgery is common and requires a mesh product to be implanted inside your body. In May of 2016, the manufacturer of a popular hernia mesh product issued a mandatory global recall due to product defects. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now at 800-470-2136. Our experienced attorneys will fight to get you the compensation you deserve. You pay nothing unless we get a recovery in your favor. Time is limited to file a claim. So call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now, 800-470-2136. Operators are standing by 24/7. Call 800-470-2136. That's 800-470-2136.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, 6 p.m., North State Now.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is in Johns Hopkins Hospital this evening after being admitted Friday night with chills and fever.
The 86-year-old justice was initially evaluated at Sibley Memorial Hospital before being transferred to Johns Hopkins for further evaluation and treated for any possible infection. The Supreme Court said in a press release her symptoms have calmed after intravenous antibiotics and fluids, and she's expected to be released from the hospital as early as Sunday morning. Ginsburg has also had two separate bouts with cancer in the past year. Her recovery from lung cancer caused her to miss court sessions in January, her first time doing so in her quarter century as justice. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
An advocacy group says internet connectivity is rapidly being restored in Iran after a week-long government-imposed shutdown amid widespread protests and a security force crackdown. The group NetBlocks says connectivity had suddenly reached 60% by Saturday afternoon. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and the Senate confirming two more Trump nominees to the federal courts this week.
Confirmation of Florida State Supreme Court Justices Robert Luck and Barbara Lagoa to the 11th Circuit Court flips it to a GOP-appointed majority, something that's also been done to the 2nd and 3rd Circuit Courts under President Trump. McConnell sees young, originalist judges as a safeguard against any future unconstitutional legislation passed by Congress. Bob Agnew, Capitol Hill.
Labor Party leader Jeremy Corbyn defending his decision to remain neutral in a possible future referendum on Britain's membership in the European Union. Corbyn said Saturday he plans to be an honest broker in a Brexit referendum rather than urge voters to remain in the EU or leave under terms of a new deal that he would negotiate if he becomes prime minister after the December 12th election. Boeing has settled about half of the lawsuits filed in federal court over the October 2018 crash of a 737 MAX jet off the coast of Indonesia. More at townhall.com.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-424-7126.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-424-7126. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. 1-800-424-7126. 1-800-424-7126.
Overseas in Syria, video from the Kurdish-led YPG group shows intense fighting with forces backed by Turkey. We get the latest from Sarah Bassett.
The Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces, of which the YPG are a main component, say Turkish forces have launched attacks with tanks, artillery, and a large number of fighters. Syrian government troops are also deployed to the area after U.S. troops stationed there were withdrawn. Turkey is seeking to expand its areas of influence in Syria's north, pushing Kurdish fighters away from its borders. Ankara views Kurdish fighters as terrorists for their links to a Kurdish insurgency inside Turkey. The same Kurdish fighters had been the main partner of the United States in combating the Islamic State group in Syria. I'm Sarah Bassett.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A $50,000 reward being offered by an insurance company to help find a man who was dressed in a full-length gown when he stole more than $1 million in diamonds from a Hawaii jewelry store on Halloween.
Maui police say the gowned and masked man also wore black gloves to rob Greenleaf's Diamonds at gunpoint. Police say there were no customers inside when he brandished the pistol and demanded three items from the display case. Jewelers Mutual Insurance Company is offering the reward for information that leads to an arrest and conviction. The company will also pay 10% of the cost of any merchandise recovered through information provided. Patrick Foss reporting.
Amazon suing the Pentagon over a $10 billion cloud computing contract awarded to Microsoft. Amazon said earlier this month there was unmistakable bias on the government's part. It filed a legal complaint on Friday with the U.S. Court of Federal Claims seeking to challenge the award. You can always check out more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
Fox News Radio Studios in New York City. Fresh off the set of Fox and Friends, it's America's receptive voice, Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. Brian Kilmeade here. The Brian Kilmeade Show, moving your direction, and it's going to be an exciting hour. All week it's been unique because we have not really done a big three because of the impeachment hearings, and we're kind of just riding in and out of live and bringing it back as well and seeing where the news was, while knowing there was a debate last week as the Democrats try to get their footing and get some momentum. If you're smart enough to have subscribed to Fox Nation, you're seeing the great John Roberts in studio. He's going to be with us until he storms out.
You see me ignoring you while I'm reading the article about your interview with the president.
Oh, really? We'll find out. The president of the United States joins us at 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock Eastern time on Fox and Friends. Shannon Bream at the bottom of the hour. Again, John Roberts can stay. And then Brian Billick, the outstanding one-time coach of the Baltimore Ravens, offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, turn analyst. We'll talk a little football. And Geraldo Rivera here now.
Had I known this was TV, I would have dressed.
No, you look good. Yeah, I mean, you know, just think like this. With Fox Nation, they'll televise. We televise everything.
You don't really get in Fox Nation. You're on the news DC side.
No, but Fox Nation is going great. And I was talking about it just the other day. I mean, it's a huge booming enterprise. The fact that that we hired Lara Logan the other day.
Oh, yeah.
An old colleague of mine. She's not an old colleague. She's an old colleague of mine from my CBS days.
Right.
She's a great person.
You know what? I'm not going to do the big three. Let's just bring in Geraldo because we are three. What, did you not want to do that? Did you want me to do it? Am I going to let you? You sure? Did you work on it hard? Okay, good. Geraldo, welcome.
I love Lara Logan. I was with her in Afghanistan when her truck blew up. I was in that same convoy. We were running up to find out how they were, and she calmly recounted how it was to be thrown out of the vehicle when the IED exploded. And then their camera was smashed, so I gave them our Fox video that they used in their CBS report. But she's great. Honored to have her. John, great to be on with you. I'm topless right now.
Oh, really?
You know, now, there's one of those things that you can't unthink.
Right,
you
know? Because he's taken the picture before, so all you have to do is
exactly.
Go on his Twitter feed.
Yeah, just don't take a selfie this time.
I always get Geraldo in a good mood. Now, he's always in a good mood, but he also is getting ready for the weekend.
Yeah.
And Geraldo's got, like, stuff to do. I mean, he has hobbies. He sails around the world. You have interests.
I know. He's got a boat, and you are inherently happier when you have a boat.
That's so true. Although it is a hole in the ocean you throw money in. It's true. It gives me great
standing
joy.
Standing in the shower ripping up $100 bills. My wife just bought the family a wakeboard boat, so we're having fun with that, yeah.
Is that something Geraldo would be invited to go on?
Sure, anytime.
Geraldo, you hear that?
I'm great. Let's have a regatta.
we keep it at the marina just outside the Pentagon, so we've always got the Pentagon.
Oh, I know that.
Patriotism
place.
In the background of any time we get out there in the boat.
So a couple of things. We talked to the president today, and he is ripping mad, and he says that Adam Schiff is sick. He has a lot of things to say. He also said that he does believe it's going back to the future, and to both of you, he does believe he was spied on. He goes, I said it early on Trump Tower. They're wiretapped. He believes it goes all the way up to the highest levels, and he thinks the FBI coming down on that one FBI agent who evidently was inaccurate in his FISA application is just the beginning. We actually played your cut from last night, Geraldo, when this revelation came forward about the FBI. So what is your reaction today?
I would like to see how material the alteration is, but you can't understate what is happening here. It's a FBI lawyer who's been dismissed or suspended from his job because of an alteration in the document used to get the FISA warrant on Carter Page, which started this whole horror show that we've been through. If that alteration is indeed material, we don't know that yet, and there are criminal charges for this now suspended or fired attorney, this is the dam breaking. I believe that this is the first revelation from the inspector general, with many more to come. He's got 500 pages. My goodness, I think that this is going to be an earthquake in the FBI. A lot of reputations that have been fiercely defended by the left will be destroyed. And more importantly, I think that the stories that are generated by the kind of disassembly of the Russia collusion hoax will so totally overshadow impeachment that it will seal the fate of impeachment.
You'll John, get, do you believe that? This will be the tide?
Party line, you'll have a straight party line vote. At best, if the Democrats can hold their line, the Republicans certainly will. It'll be a kind of pro forma, and I think that it will be very embarrassing for some of the biggest Democrats' mouths you've seen.
Well, it certainly is going to be a counter-narrative to the impeachment process if it goes forward into the House Judiciary Committee, because at the same time, they'll be discussing the impeachment of the president in the House Judiciary. Over in the Senate Judiciary, Lindsey Graham will be talking to Michael Horowitz about what he found in this report. And every
December 11th,
everything that we have heard about this report, which comes out December 9th, is that it is going to be very significant. And we see from this first little dribble that comes out of it that maybe this didn't affect materially the FISA application, but certainly it suggests that people were willing to do certain things in order to buttress their case for getting this application.
And it's on Carter Page.
And Carter Page joined Maria this morning. But here's what the president, guy, said about this morning. Cut 19.
Well, it certainly doesn't. They were spying on my campaign, and it went right up to the top, and everybody knows it. And now we're going to find out. You have Bull Durham, who's supposed to be the toughest. I've never met him, never spoke to him, but he's supposed to be the smartest and the best. And he works for Bill Barr, who's a great attorney general. We would maybe have ended this thing a lot sooner had he been there originally. But you have some people that are great people now and patriotic people. They love our country. And this was spying on my campaign, something that has never been done in the history of our country. This was an overthrow attempt at the presidency. They tried to overthrow the presidency.
And he went on, and we know, too, the dossier came up yesterday. So the president says it's just the beginning. So let's talk about impeachment if we can. What's your takeaway, John? I mean, you talk to people in all the press. I mean, it was a one-stop story using different people. Did anything get accomplished this week?
I mean, there was a couple of revelations. There was when Taylor said that there was a call on July the 26th, the day after the call with Zelensky. We didn't know about that before, but that seemed to be fairly well explained away by the White House, saying, well, of course he would talk to Sondland about the investigations. He just talked to Zelensky about it. Other than that, I don't think that there was anything that we didn't already know from reading the transcripts. What Schiff did was, it was the difference between reading the script for a movie and then seeing the movie, you know, and having it out there in public before the television cameras for everybody to see. Does it have a greater impact than if you're reading it? Because I don't think maybe but 0.005% of the population read through all of those transcripts.
Right.
I know that I didn't even read through all of them. I read through a lot of them, but not all of them. So it's, you know, it's the drama of having the open hearings in Congress.
And Geraldo, they got four articles of impeachment. It's going to get drafted. It'll probably go to judiciary. You're the lawyer. But then it'll end up in the Senate side. And the president told us today he wants that trial.
It's all about the court of public opinion. And before you get into that, the president this morning made the point, which cannot be overlooked, that the polls in the swing states, particularly here in the industrial Rust Belt, seem to indicate that the president is winning the battle of public opinion. We just saw the Democrats' strongest shot against him. And it just seems to me that the more they hit him, the more he has kind of rebounded in his polls. He's as high now as he has ever been. Rasmussen had him at 50% in its daily tracking approval number. I know Rasmussen is generally regarded as a Republican poll, but still, 50% is 50%.
Right.
And I think that the more the public swings toward the president, the more hollow the Democrats will sound as they go forward with a case that, as John has stated, is one that everyone is right. Basically familiar with the four walls of the complaint. I think that people have made a calculation, Brian, that, okay, the president had this icky phone call, this tacky phone call with Zelensky, probably shouldn't have done it, but, you know, he's unconventional and no harm, no foul. They never started anything. They got the damn javelins and, you know, Obama never gave him anything but an MRE. I think that that's going to be very difficult for the Democrats to reverse, because I don't know what other card they have. Particularly with Bolton and Mulvaney and the others saying screw you in terms of testifying.
John Roberts, have you talked to a Republican that is on the fence? Have you talked to them that says that?
I think the only Republicans that may be on the fence with this are Mitt Romney and Susan Collins. They were over at the White House yesterday. Romney said that he is keeping an open mind about all of this. He thinks it's reprehensible what the president did in the phone call with Zelensky, but is it impeachable? And here's my big takeaway from all of these hearings.
It's interesting the president had him over, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've been having meetings with dozens and dozens of Republicans and other operatives and surrogates and staff members, trying to keep everybody on the same page and say, here's where we're going from here. There was a meeting yesterday morning at the White House between staff and some Republicans about where things might go in terms of of an impeachment trial. But here's my big takeaway from it. There seems to be some pretty good circumstantial evidence that there was at least the talk of a quid pro quo with Zelensky to get a meeting at the Oval Office. But there doesn't seem to be any hard evidence that the aid was tied to investigations. So the big question for the Democrats is, are you going to move to impeach a president because he was setting conditions that may have been favorable to him for an Oval Office meeting? If it was aid
right.
that had been approved by Congress,
right.
then that's a different story. But there doesn't seem to be any direct connection. And even the person, the one person who talked to the president about this directly, Gordon Sondland, said he was told that there was no quid pro quo.
I guess, Raldo, it's time for you to get dressed. All right, I have to go to a break. I mean, is it possible for you to get dressed?
Yeah, I got it. You know how resistant I am to
clothes.
To clothing, but I'll move on with my week. All right, great talking to you guys.
Go get him. Geraldo Rivera.
Good to see you, Geraldo.
We're going to take a time out and come back with Shannon Bream. I'm going to try to convince John Roberts to stick around.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, Protect My Car is announcing a low-cost extended service plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay nothing for auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay nothing for auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-807-8216 now. Drivers who are covered by Protect My Car will not have to pay for a covered repair bill again. This auto coverage is at an all-time low, much lower than what dealerships are charging. Additionally, drivers who activate this auto coverage today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and free car rental at no additional cost. Call Protect My Car for your free quick quote today. 800-807-8216. 800-807-8216. What do you have to lose? Again, 800-807-8216.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
A Cascade favorite holiday tradition, Thomasine's Celtic Christmas, returns to the Cascade Theater on Saturday, December 21st, filled with Celtic singing, music, dancing, and stories. It's a night of joy, laughter, and the giving spirit of the season that is great for the whole family. Get tickets today at CascadeTheater.org or by calling 530-243-8877.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
When you're looking at a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
In 1971, Margaret Thatcher, then a member of Parliament, addressed the ability of women to be successful in government. This was 8 years before she became Prime Minister.
Now, I've heard this argument frequently, that women are really rather more emotional than men. Really, women are intensely practical. Again, I don't mean that flippantly. We are an intensely practical sex. We often get on with the job. We don't always talk about it as much as men. We get on doing it. But women are very much more modest in running for Parliament than men. Nothing like as many of them put up, as you know.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. Show like no other. It's Brian Kilmeade.
An impeachable offense should be compelling, overwhelmingly clear, and unambiguous, and it's not something to be rushed or taken lightly. I've not heard evidence proving the president committed bribery or extortion.
We want to bring that back because it's significant. Will Hurd's retiring, CIA guy, got a lot of integrity, but not on board with everything the president's doing, and they thought Democrats, John Roberts, I don't want to put words in your mouth. They thought that's the one. That's the guy we're going to get. That was his final statement. They didn't get
No, they didn't get Will Hurd. And Will Hurd, I've talked to Will Hurd a number of times, been at events with him. He's a very smart guy, very pragmatic guy, a real patriot, doesn't agree with the president on a lot of things.
Including the border.
But, yeah, but on this, he just doesn't see it, which goes to what I said before. Even if there was a quid pro quo for an Oval Office meeting and a phone call, is that something that's worthy of removing the president? And you, because you can't prove the other part of it, which is a quid pro quo over military aid.
The other part, I thought Fiona Hill, how do you think she came off yesterday?
I think she came off really, really well. You know, Dana Perino and I were sitting on set watching her, and we both thought that she was very impressive.
So I thought this is my takeaway. You know what I want to come out of this? I want the average American to understand how important it is to support Ukraine. And I want them to know that it is not some crazy country in the Far East that we're never going to, in the Eastern Europe, they're never going to be. There was a reason why John McCain showed up there in minus 20 degree weather as they started their revolution to get rid of the stooge that the Russians put in place. And Fiona Hill said it too. Cut three.
This is exactly what the Russian government was hoping for. If they seed misinformation, they seed doubt. They have everybody questioning the legitimacy of a presidential candidate, be it President Trump or potentially President Clinton, that they would pit one side of our electorate against the other, that they would pit one party against the other. And that's why I wanted to make such a strong point at the very beginning.
So the Russians are getting exactly what they want.
Yeah.
Doubt in the Ukraine.
Yeah, they kind of manipulate
people.
America, yeah.
And we're playing into it.
But there's no question that the leadership in 2016, Poroshenko in Ukraine, was hoping that Hillary Clinton would become president. And a Ukrainian court ruled that two officials who dumped the black ledger on Paul Manafort interfered in the election by forcing the removal of the president's campaign chairman. So there was there was some interference there. Now, was the whole CrowdStrike thing did that happen? There doesn't seem to be any hard evidence that Ukraine was actually hacking the DNC servers, and it serves Russia's purpose to think that it was Ukraine and not Russia. But now we're moving toward this idea of, well, if you can't impeach the president, maybe you censure him. Maybe there's a motion in the House
to
censure the president. Yeah, everybody's talking about it now. Maybe they do something short of impeachment. They do censure. And what effect would censure have on President Trump? Well, let me show you a picture of the first American president to be censured.
Andrew Jackson.
He's on the $20 bill. Now, the censure was expunged 3 years after he was censured. But here's a president who was censured, and he's on the $20 bill. So,
and he's considered one of our greatest presidents now, controversial to some. But guess who else reminds? Guess whose portrait's hanging in the Oval Office?
Yeah, exactly.
Andrew Jackson.
No.
Last night you were at an event.
The president really likes Andrew Jackson.
John, you were at an event last night.
I was.
The Shep emceed. How was it? Tell me about it.
Committed to Protect Journalists. It's a very important organization because it aids and advocates for journalists in this country and in countries overseas. I mean, there were award recipients from Nicaragua, from Brazil, from Tanzania, Pakistan. You know, journalism in many of these countries is now becoming the opposition of the state. And a lot of it flows from what we hear coming out of President Trump's mouth. He says that the media is the enemy of the state in the United States. It's not. But there are a lot of despots and dictators around the world who are using that language to crack down on journalists, jail them, intimidate them. The guy from Pakistan was saying that some troops and paramilitary forces came in and beat up everybody in their newsroom. Shep was back.
How was he?
He's terrific. I mean, he's great. He came up and said hello. He's doing really well. I think he's really loving life. He is a tremendous advocate for CPJ. He really believes in the mission to the degree that he donated $500,000.
$500,000
CPJ last night. Yeah.
So
I made a donation. It wasn't $500,000.
Right. Well, I mean, it's important, though. But the president of the United States is tired of it. He thinks that the press is lined up against him, and he said it again today about the New York Times being against him. It is pretty amazing. I took off work the other day to do a Fox Nation shoot, and I watched the other channels. There was not one positive story. MSNBC actually did a story on how the economy eventually is going to turn bad. I'm like, really? That's your story? So he's frustrated.
It sells newspapers and brings eyeballs to the table to criticize President Trump.
And that's why they do it?
I don't want to say that's why they do it. I'm just saying it does.
John from Spare and Balance. John Roberts, thanks so much. Shannon Bream, are you going to stick around?
Sure, I'll stick around.
Shannon Bream's coming up next. Let's see if she can have the integrity and candor of John Roberts. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show. It's a busy, busy Friday. Don't move.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1972.
John Dean.
I guess I'd have to say that it was probably the opening act of one of America's great tragedies.
Elvis had a hard time dealing with mother and the little girl that I was to him. To show any kind of vulnerability and security to me was not macho. It was not something that he felt I should see. So our communication was horrible.
We mourn our Israel friends, victims of this brutal assault. The Olympic flag and the flags of all the world fly at half-mast. The greater and the more important the Olympic Games become, the more they are open to commercial, political, and now criminal pressure.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blanton.
Umpteen. One of my favorite words. It's fun to say. People get what it means. It saves time counting. I used it recently to describe the field of candidates running for the Democratic presidential nomination. To be precise, the number had dwindled from a high of 24 down to 17. Most Democratic primary voters were happy with their choices. 7 in 10 in our Fox News poll were satisfied. Seems former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick and former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg focused instead on the 3 in 10 who wish they had other candidates to pick from. We just polled about Bloomberg. Only 8% of Democratic primary voters would definitely back him. More than three times as many, 27%, would definitely vote for Hillary Clinton. She tells BBC she's not ruling it out.
Never, never, never say never.
With candidates coming and going, I'll keep using umpteen to describe the field. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
The more you'll know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
But the truth is, the facts are indeed not complicated. And I'm going to close out with two questions for the both of you. Did Ukraine open an investigation into the Bidens, Mr. Morrison?
Not to my knowledge, ma'am.
Ambassador Volker?
Not to my knowledge either.
Did either of you ever have any evidence of quid pro quo, Mr. Morrison?
No, ma'am.
Ambassador Volker?
I did not.
Any evidence of bribery?
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
And there you go. That was just some of the back and forth. The President of the United States was very pleased with a few people who have gone to bat for him, one of which is that congressman from New York, Congresswoman Lisa Stefanik. She says she is a star. He just told us that on Fox and Friends. John Roberts is in studio, and Shannon Bream could not be more jealous. Shannon Bream is in D.C., and she does not have John Roberts sitting sidecar with her. And how does that feel?
I mean, like I'm left out in the cold, you two. Just having a party without me.
Shannon, great work this week, man. I've been watching you doing all those extended shows. Do you just pick up the phone and you say, I need another hour?
Well, I am today because I'm going to sit in for Brett. I'm doing the Brian Kilmeade treatment where, you know, you just work morning, noon, and night.
Oh, so you're doing the 6 o'clock show. I'm
trying to keep up with you. You're setting the example.
All right. First off, we played that cut for a reason. The Republicans did a good job pushing back this week with the time they got. Do you agree with that, John?
I do. And again, it goes to this idea of no evidence of a quid pro quo. It's like when Gordon Sondland was asked, did anybody in the world tell you that there was a quid pro quo, the aid for Ukraine, with an investigation? And he said no.
Shannon?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they really nailed them down on something that they've taken a big gamble. The Mueller thing didn't work out, some of the other things that they've tried. And so I think that's why Speaker Pelosi was so cautious, thinking, listen, I don't want y'all doing this thing unless it's a slam dunk. And I don't think most people could argue that it was. I mean, both sides are claiming victory, but I don't think if they were undecided or middle of the road Republicans who hadn't really figured out what they're going to do. I mean, if you can't get Will Hurd, you're probably not going to get scores of other Republicans to come along with you on this vote.
I agree. So when we're done, John was just bringing this up right when we went to break, and that's the idea of a censure. Do you think that's getting some traction, being that nobody really believes that impeachment's going to continue? I mean, that this is impeachable, as you mentioned about Will Hurd. I don't know one Republican that's going to flip right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely kind of being floated around in Washington toward the whispers. We'll see if there's anything to it. But I just don't think the far left of the base and of the party for the Democrats is going to let Nancy Pelosi get away with that. I mean, I think there will be an incredible civil war with the likes of, you know, the Squad and other, you know, progressive commentators and folks on the left. They're not going to, I don't think they're going to think censure is the path.
So we'll see, I guess, in the next few days. The way I understand it, next week's Thanksgiving. Then after that.
That's very good.
Can I get a source on that, Shannon? So everyone goes home.
I'll get back to you.
I don't know. I think you're out on a bit of a limb, but we can double check the calendar.
Sarcasm has no place on my show, and Shannon knows that. Shannon, so we're off for a week. And according to Doug Collins yesterday, the ranking member on Judiciary, he does not know. He said he talked to Jerry Nadler. He does not know. Does he get the case next? Do we wait for the court cases like Don McGahn? We're going to get a ruling soon whether he has to answer that subpoena or not. And that would maybe have Bolton, maybe have Mulvaney, and maybe have others have to answer. And do we do this again with bigger names?
Well, it wouldn't be Mulvaney because Mulvaney's not part of the court case. He was thinking of joining it, and then he backed out.
So he's just sitting it out.
Certainly, you know, Bolton has joined the court case. The date is the hearing set for December 10th. That also includes Charles Kupperman, the former deputy director at the NSA. And Bolton's willing to testify. He reemerged on Twitter this morning saying backstory to come. So that's a little titillating.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right.
Yeah.
So we don't know. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
We don't know where this is going.
Right. The USMCA, this is something that is going to be 100,000 jobs. We should make unions happy. It make Canada and Mexico happy. It'll underline our agreements between two of our neighbor nations. And guess what? Nancy Pelosi yesterday says, not quite ready, Shannon. What do you mean it's not quite ready?
Well, I mean, you have to wonder, you know, and John has covered this for years, too. I mean, up there on the Hill, they're not real motivated to do anything as you're going into an election year. But this is something that has had bipartisan support, just like infrastructure and, you know, the Violence Against Women Act. I mean, there are things out there that they could be getting done. But I don't think that any of them want to be seen, the Democrats, as giving the president a victory in the middle of this, you know, nasty fight. I mean, talk about how those court cases, the court cases coming up December 10th. Think about what's bookending that. Either day of it, the Horowitz report comes on December 9th. He's supposed to testify in the Senate Judiciary Committee on the 11th. There are so many things on a collision course within the next couple of weeks, and I don't think within that stew that the Democrats are going to say, okay, sure, we'll get this huge trade deal done that would give the president a win. I just don't see him doing
it. But, John, is it a win when Nancy Pelosi clearly has some fingerprints on it where she could say, I had to switch it and make it friendly towards my party?
I think she missed maybe I'm really naive about politics, but I think that she missed a real opportunity to get the MCA passed under the radar screen. Does anybody remember the votes on the continuing resolution that happened in the middle of the impeachment inquiry? No, all we know is that they broke up the impeachment inquiry for a couple of votes. One of those votes could have been for the USMCA, and it probably would have really flown below the radar. But if she delays it, and she said she doesn't know if she can get it done by the end of the year, if she delays it into the election year, President Trump, who has already been hammering her over it, will hammer all of the Democrats over it as they're going through their primary process, saying you're holding up jobs in the United States, you're holding up trade, this is irresponsible. And then if she's going to have to pass it at some point. And if she passes it in the middle of the election year, she's really giving him a victory. And then one that's not clouded by an impeachment inquiry. So I think she missed a big opportunity.
Here she is.
I'm not even sure if we came to an agreement today that it would be enough time to finish, but it just depends on how much agreement we come to. Again, you know what the areas have been: enforcement, overarching. Under that, labor, workers' rights, et cetera, pharmaceuticals, environment. We'll see where we are on all of those.
Robert Lighthizer, and both sides praise him. I was sat next to Chuck Schumer a month ago at that Al Smith dinner. He loves Lighthizer. He said, this guy is brilliant. Any party would lucky to have him. He goes, we're going to get this done. He goes, I fully back the president on China. So if I could pivot, if I could, we asked him today. I don't know if you had a chance to pull that part, Eric, but we asked him today about China. And I said, what about the deal? He says, they need it more than us. I'm not sure. But she, Friday, I'm not sure about the time difference, said Friday, I want to make an interim deal. I mean, that's very rare for him to say that, that's fair and equal. And the president jumped on the word equal. He goes, that's the problem, the word equal, because they've had it unequal for a while. Shannon?
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's been so much back and forth on this and whether the president is playing it correctly. And like you said, the Senate Democrat leader, the minority leader, Chuck Schumer, has stayed on the president to say, don't give in, don't waffle with these guys, we've got your back. I don't know if the president's banking too much on that. I mean, but it's out there publicly. I mean, the support from the left also and the right for him to be tougher. So, yeah, it's interesting because he's continued to stay strong. I think as long as the markets can bear it and the farmers don't turn on him, he's going to continue down this path. I think that, you know, a lot of those folks in agriculture are trying to play the long game with him and saying, yeah, we support him. We've gotten knocked around for decades. It's time for somebody to stand up for us. It's going to hurt in the interim, but we're hoping for the long-term payoff. So I think unless he sees the markets completely falling apart and some of those core constituencies impacted by this deal going away, he's going to play hardball.
And the markets liked what he told you this morning. Markets are up about 60 points right now after being down a couple of hundred over the last couple of days when he brought up potential tariffs again, and I'm not sure that this deal is going to happen. I think they liked a little more what he said. What's really interesting to me is when you look at the dynamic between Chuck Schumer and President Trump, you know, sometimes you think that Chuck Schumer wants pistols at dawn with the president, but on this China deal, he's firmly with him. And it really is interesting to see how in lockstep with the president Schumer is on this.
Well, I got the Huawei thing and the delay. I'm not sure what was happening. I'm going to last end with politics, guys. Michael Moore was not wrong when he said this about his party, the one he saw on stage this week. Cut 31.
Moving to the center, I am the center. I am the mainstream now of the Democratic Party. The majority of Americans agree with me and Bernie on all the issues, whether it's health care for all, whether it's climate change, minimum wage, mass incarceration, but down the whole list, the American people have moved left.
So left that President Obama has made a few statements. Guys, you're too far left. I don't know if he's speaking for the American people, but he's certainly speaking for the party, Shannon, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's warning them. I think that he realizes that his legacy and the future of the Democratic Party could be in flux over this whole thing. He's saying quit with the purity test and being so woke. You can get things done, but you're going to have to work in coalitions and be realistic about it. I think he's worried when he looks at people like Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, who has got, you know, massive social media followings. She's a darling. She really motivates and inspires and gets people going. But when you look out there at some of the things that Michael Moore referred to, when you look at things like Medicare for All and all these other things, when you actually pull them and dig into the numbers, like, okay, what does it mean for you? Do you like it if your taxes go up, if you can't get doctor appointments, if it gets rid of private insurance? The polling falls away on this stuff. So I think that, Moore cannot look at himself and say, I'm you know, Omaha, Nebraska. I think that's probably some faulty logic on his part. And, you know, President Obama is trying to warn him.
I right now, if you, the hot person is Mayor Pete. Elizabeth Warren seems to be waning. Joe Biden wins most of the national polls. I don't know. It's not obvious to me who the nominee is going to be.
That's why there's a process.
Right.
Did you know at this point in 2015 who the nominee was going to be on the Republican side?
By 2015 this time?
This time in 2015.
What do you think?
Did you know that President Trump was going to be the nominee?
What do you think?
No.
November, when did he declare?
June 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
We understand John Bolton has just tweeted. He said that his Twitter has been down for 2 months.
You know, he just tweeted out again, we have now liberated the Twitter account previously suppressed unfairly in the aftermath of my resignation as National Security Advisor. More to come.
Uh-oh.
Sounds like, do I have to do another hour today?
Yikes.
That was totally about Shannon Bream. It wasn't even about the country.
Yeah, so now Bolton has tweeted this morning, glad to be back on Twitter after more than 2 months. For the backstory, stay tuned. We've now liberated the Twitter account previously suppressed unfairly. More to come. He wants to testify, and he has got a lot to talk about. But, you know, if you look at the letter that his attorney, Charles Cooper, sent up to the Hill, he's basically saying, how can you call this a serious impeachment inquiry if you're not willing to wait until the beginning of December for the court to rule whether or not the subpoena that you have issued to Charles Kupperman and a subpoena that you may issue to John Bolton are enforceable? Why do you not want to wait? Because in that letter, it suggested that Bolton has got a lot of information about meetings that took place that have not come into the public forum yet.
I just don't know why it would behoove him to blow himself up with Republicans and Trump supporters for his career and his super PAC. But I asked President Trump about John Bolton's Twitter account.
John Bolton has just gone back on Twitter. His account was frozen for 2 months. Did you guys freeze his account?
No, of course not. Of course not. No, I actually had a good relationship with John. We disagreed on some things and some methods, but I actually had a good relationship.
Okay.
No,
Mr. President.
You disagreed on some things?
Yeah. You know, if they freeze my Twitter account, I might text or I might use Facebook. So I don't know. I don't even understand that significant of it. Shannon, I enjoyed our time together. We'll see you at 6. Then we're going to see you again at 11.
I'll see you then. I mean, it sounds like those two had a conscience uncoupling that maybe didn't go so well.
Yes.
Which one was which one was Gwyneth Paltrow?
Right. Which one's Chris and which one's Gwyneth? I don't know.
Yeah, Shannon, this has been a very interesting segment. I think we really helped America.
Host. What can you say?
All right. Let's go get him, Shannon.
See y'all.
How are you going to beat this in your next segment?
Back in a moment.
Honest commentary, unique opinions, no agenda. It's Brian Kilmeade.
My name is Preston James. I've been a stock and options trader for 23 years. I used to be an active swing trader, but that all changed once I discovered my MoneyPress weekly paycheck method. These days, I'm a passive trader, hauling in more cash while being able to sleep at night than I ever dreamed possible. I'm passionate about the market, and I like to keep it simple. My methods are changing thousands of lives, and I'm confident it can change yours. But let the proof do the talking by going to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com. You'll see a 7-minute video revealing how my MoneyPress method grew a $54,000 account to $174,000 in less than 9 months. That works out to 5.8% per week. You'll see the proof right inside my real brokerage account. This isn't about overnight riches, but once you discover this for yourself, you can start on this same path overnight. You're 7 minutes away from changing everything you thought you knew about trading and investing. Go to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention! If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications such as chronic pain, infection, wound reopening, mesh migration, bowel obstruction, need revision surgery, or other complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Hernia repair surgery is common and requires a mesh product to be implanted inside your body. In May of 2016, the manufacturer of a popular hernia mesh product issued a mandatory global recall due to product defects. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now at 800-470-2136. Our experienced attorneys will fight to get you the compensation you deserve. You pay nothing unless we get a recovery in your favor. Time is limited to file a claim, so call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now, 800-470-2136. Operators are standing by 24/7. Call 800-470-2136. That's 800-470-2136.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds December 19th at Wind River Resort and Casino inside Elements Lounge. Join me along with Pat Karch on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Mike Costa on drums, and Lou White on sax, flute, and clarinet. Enjoy an evening with your favorite Christmas music along with jazz classics. That's 6 to 9 p.m. in Elements Lounge. For reservations, call 243-3377.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Talking about it. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Here's a flag as... Whoa! Mason Rudolph got into it.
Get out of there.
What in the world? Believe Miles Garrett? Does he bring in a helmet?
Yeah, there'll be some ejections.
And that was the incident from last week where Miles Garrett was tossed after taking Mason Rudolph's helmet off and hit him in the head with it. And now there's allegations that the reason why Garrett did that, is because of a racial slur that Rudolph denies doing. So it's an ugly incident, another challenge for the commissioner of football. Joining us now, one of the great offensive minds in football, is Turn Analyst. He starred for the Minnesota Vikings, was a quarterback, was a Minnesota Vikings offensive coordinator, became head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, won a Super Bowl along the way. Brian Billick, now with the NFL Network. Welcome back.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Hey, Brian, John Roberts is here, the outstanding reporter, and he swears he has a good question for you, and I do not doubt him. First off, on
this, trust him, huh?
Yeah. It might have to do with impeachment, though.
Yes, if you don't mind.
Because we don't have enough.
I'm kidding.
We've got to spend another day on
it. So, Brian, this is a big deal. We all know it. I don't need to underline it. But are you surprised this has now turned about race?
It's disappointing and regrettable, because clearly the act itself, regardless of what prompted it, is inexcusable. I think even the players in Cleveland will tell you that. that's the type of thing. And then it's, you know, emotions flare, obviously, in NFL games. But they understand, even from their standpoint, that this can't be allowed because they could be on the other side of it the next time. And when the league was very prompt, very quick to put the sanctions on, I think they were appropriate sanctions. I think it was appropriate that they did not roll them back because this specific act is egregious. It belies everything in terms of the safety of the players, and the players will agree with that. And he has every right to appeal it. That's a part of the process. The players do have rights. But to, at the late stage, now insert this element, it's regrettable. Look, every NFL locker room, it's quite a mix. It really is, of players from economic, socioeconomic, religious, political backgrounds that you bring together, all with varying views. And that's a lot. That takes a lot to hold a league and a locker room together. To raise this specter by way of an excuse is, it's just regrettable.
Gotcha. By the way, Brian, I've got another question for you, but I just want to make sure you are on, you're talking about GetRoman.com, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So for guys listening right now, why do they need it?
Well, I tell you what, you know, when I was in the NFL and I needed something done, all I had to do was walk down the hallway and I had world-class trainers, doctors. I don't have that now. And 50% of the guys over 40 haven't been to a doctor in 2 years. It's not right. There's just too much going on to have access to U.S. licensed physician to address a wide myriad of things that we all are dealing with in one form or another, and then to be able to have confirmable, the right pharmaceuticals to take care of all the things we're doing. You can't do it better than the privacy of your home online with GetRoman.com.
Yeah, and it's a digital healthcare clinic. And lastly, Tom Brady is not playing like Tom Brady. Is he? Are you seeing signs that he's getting older, that he might not be the elite quarterback?
Well, at some point, he is going to get too old. I don't know if we're there or not. I'm not going to be the one to say Tom Brady can't do it anymore. I think, you know, the hardest thing to do sometimes is separate the play of a quarterback from what's going on around him. And I think what's going on around him with the myriad receivers he has going through there, the run of the offensive line that's been kind of in a work in progress for the entire season. They know that defense is their strength right now. They're playing great defense, league-leading defense.
Somehow I think he's going to end up in Miami still. Thanks so much. Brian Billick. Thanks, John Roberts.
All right.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising. Sponsored by Case Legal Media. Attention. This is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation.
Call us now at 800-540-3219. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-540-3219. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-540-3219. Again, 800-540-3219.
Hi, this is Linda Bot. And let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
News Talk